is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hey, hello there. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio on the front end of the AdPro Sports Training Center. Here until 3. Happy to have you in the audience, whether you're listening on the radio, on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Perhaps you're tuned in by the television. Video side on MSG, wherever you are, however you're taking this in, we are happy to have in the audience. And happy Valentine's Day. Donald, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Donald,
you
have and I Valentine? We have decided to forego our usual Valentine's Day kiss because we both have colds.
Right.
So, and yeah. I didn't get you anything for Valentine's Day either. I don't think it's appropriate, as a matter of fact.
No.
For you and me to trade Valentine's?
Yeah, no,
what is
no,
this?
No,
it's
no,
not kindergarten not... here, buddy.
I think if it was like a bottle of... You know, some red breasts or something like that. It'd be all right.
Oh, I'll take that. I would take that. That'd
yeah,
be okay. No, I the whole Valentine's Day thing. Now, did you address your wife?
I had to do a little something, but
okay, low key in it.
Low key.
Yeah, me too.
Low key.
Me too. After a while, it's like, what are we doing here?
Exactly.
You don't need Hallmark card company to tell us to acknowledge our loved ones. We don't, right?
No, not at all.
You know,
I mean,
how
you
lucky
just,
we are.
Exactly. You just do. It all throughout the year. So why is it that this one day has to be a special day that, no,
right.
I acknowledge you all the time.
And I think we both would acknowledge that in terms of our wives, we're both out kicking our coverage a little bit.
We are.
Right?
That's right.
And I know that every day. I don't need to be reminded by Hallmark or any other card company or florist or candy maker or anything like that. I know the drill. But happy Valentine's Day to you. I don't want to stomp all over everybody's celebration. It's a good day. That'll be the end of the Valentine's Day mentions here on the show today, I would think. You just don't have anything to say about it. There it is. It's Valentine's Day. Okay, St. Valentine's Day. On the show today, here until 3, pretty good lineup. Field Yates from ESPN. You see him on their ESPN shows dealing with the NFL. He's going to be joining us today, coming up at 12:30, co-host of their Fantasy Football Focus podcast, regular contributor to NFL Live and SportsCenter. Field Yates will join us at 12:30. He's got a, you know, we're in the season now where everybody wants to take a crack at rebuilding rosters and setting up free agency in the draft, and Field Yates has done it for a lot of teams in around the NFL. We'll talk to him about the Bills situation and the rest of the league coming up at 12:30. Interesting guy. We're looking forward to talking with him.
Yeah, I want to get his take on where the Bills need to start.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of rebuilding. Is it rebuilding this roster or is it just building the roster?
That's a good question. I don't think they're in rebuild mode. But.
Yeah, you got to be careful about how you say that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are you rebuilding right now? Rebuilding is rebuilding. That
right.
means that you're at the bottom of this thing and you're trying to rebuild everything. Or are you trying to just build out a roster from a foundation that you already have? I think that's a good question. We can ask him. That question.
Where are the Bills?
Where are the Bills right now? And see where his thoughts are. He's probably going to say something about the quarterback position.
Probably, yep. Field Yates has written a post, the GM for a day, making every NFL team's biggest free agent decision. He says E.J. Gaines, the cornerback, is Buffalo's biggest free agent decision. We'll talk with him about that at 12:30. 1 o'clock, former Bills wide receiver Bucky Brooks, network analyst on the NFL Network, host of Move the Sticks podcast, former Bills wide receiver in 1994, former Bills receiver Bucky Brooks will join us. He's written a lot of good things, including how critical this draft is. He's got the Bills among 5 teams that need to dominate the 2019 NFL draft. In fact, he says the Bills are the number 2 team on his list as far as needing to dominate the draft. They certainly have the capital, the wherewithal to do it with all their draft picks, as does Cleveland. We'll talk with Bucky Brooks about how important this upcoming draft is to the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up at 1 o'clock today. We continue our review of the roster today. As you know, we started it yesterday with defensive backs, but every day over the next 2 weeks leading up to the combine, 2 weeks away, we're going to kind of dive into one particular unit on the Buffalo Bills roster, sort of analyze who's there, who's coming back, who is in danger of leaving, what might be out there to beef up the roster spot. Today it's linebackers. We'll talk about the Buffalo linebackers, and, of course, the most important decision when it comes to linebackers, I think the most prominent decision anyway, is what do you do with Preston Brown, right? That's first and foremost, I think, at everybody's plate.
Yeah, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your middle linebacker. That's a key part in any defense, but especially in this defense, the scheme that they want to play. Preston is he's one of the leaders of the defense, but he's the quarterback of the defense. He's the one that calls the plays. He's the one that has to get everybody in the right position behind him, everybody in the right position in front of him and next to him in terms of the other linebacker. So, yeah, and he's the league leader, and he was the league leader in tackles. So he's a guy who you got to figure out if you want to bring back or not, but I think he's a guy that they should bring back just because he's shown that he can play in so many different defenses. He's been under a few different coaches now. He's been able to adapt in each defense. And I think he's a good player for you. Some people would say, well, he's not the fastest. And Coach McDermott, Coach Leslie Frazier like to have fast linebackers. I think Preston Brown is fast enough to be able to get the job done at the middle linebacker position. That is a huge position in a defense for a guy that needs to get everybody in the right position. And you can't measure that in just stats. And you talk about stats. He's the league leader in tackles. But this guy is the quarterback of your defense, and I think they all need to have him there. They feel comfortable with Preston being there. So I think you need to go ahead and try to bring him back.
We'll dive deep into the Bills linebacker position, not just Preston Brown, but Ramon Humber is a pending unrestricted free agent. Where does he figure into the equation? Who's out there in the draft who might be out there potentially as free agent linebackers they could sign? All of that coming up in our discussion of linebackers today. Plus a lot of other things to talk about. As usual, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550 here until 3 o'clock today. And the topic on the table to start with, not necessarily what we're going to get locked onto all day, but the topic on the table to start with deals with free agency. 1 month from today, March 14th, the start of the NFL free agency period. The legal tampering period comes a day or two before that. But 1 month from today, the start of the league year, the first day of free agency. So our Twitter poll today, with free agency just a month away, what should be the Bills' top free agent priority to set them up for the draft coming up at the end of April? What should be the top priority for the Bills in free agency? It's just a month away now, free agency. What should be at the top of their list? We offer a couple of suggestions on Twitter. You may like those. You may have something else in mind. What should be the Bills' top priority to set them up for the NFL draft? On Twitter, it's a dead heat. 37% of you say finding a starting quarterback in free agency should be their top priority. 37% of you say re-signing Preston Brown and E.J. Gaines should be their top priority. 20% say finding more offensive weapons. 6% have something else in mind. Love to talk to you about it. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or via Twitter, you can tweet in your response. You can vote in our Twitter poll. Let me start with this, Donald. I think it is unrealistic to think that you are going to get a starting quarterback in the free agent market. I really do. Look, everybody knows the Bills are interested in quarterbacks. Everybody knows their need for a quarterback. Everybody knows their long-standing need for a true franchise quarterback. Yeah. Is that guy coming via the free agent market? I don't see how. I think you'd be hard-pressed to even name recently in the NFL. You know, we said it last year, the good quarterbacks don't wind up in free agency. The really good ones don't. Now, there have been trades, Alex Smith just a month or so ago. Kirk Cousins, is he going to wind up free agency? Maybe. You really want to spend the kind of money it would take to bring him here? I think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to get a starting-level caliber quarterback out of the free agent market. I would vote for re-signing, keeping your own, basically, because you might be able to do it in an economical fashion. Keeping Preston Brown and E.J. Gaines, that would be my top priority for the Buffalo Bills going into free agency. But I'm willing to hear arguments to the contrary.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is a guy who is a franchise quarterback. I think if he has the right weapons around him and everything going the right way, he could be a guy who could take you very deep in the playoffs. You look at his production, he's been over 4,000 yards the last few years in a row. The dude can make plays for you, but it's going to take a lot of money to get him here. Or anywhere that he goes, he's going to want to make at least what Jimmy Garoppolo got, which was a huge, $130 million deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they want to get into that ballpark. I think they want to build this thing through the draft. And I think most teams want to build it through the draft. unless they feel like they're one piece away, like a Denver might feel like all we need is that quarterback, and that quarterback can get us back to the promised land because we have a very good defense, we have a solid run game, we have offensive linemen, et cetera, et cetera. I think the Bills are in a different position right now. You're not looking at this thing saying, well, we're one piece away from going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I think every team is one piece away, but or a couple of pieces away. But I don't think if you break the bank right now for Kirk Cousins, that's not going to necessarily even put you back in the playoffs.
No.
You know, so I think it's something that you have to truly think about. And I think Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean really want to build through the draft. In terms of free agent market, you want to bring a quarterback in, somebody else that you don't have to break the bank for. So in terms of the Twitter poll, I would say quarterback is probably number one. You got to figure out what you're doing with that position. But I think a close second would be defensive line. And you look at the scheme that they like to play here, and I know E.J. Gaines and Preston Brown are very important, but I think the defensive line is very, very important to Leslie Frazier. As he talked about yesterday on the show with us, they want to be able to get pressure with just the front four. Coach McDermott has said they want to be able to get pressure with just the front four. So I think the defensive line is very important to them. You got to figure out what's going on with Kyle Williams, if he's going to come back or not. If not, then that's another hole that you have to fill. You got to get some. You really got to get some guys, some girth up in the middle of your defense. So, and some defensive ends, some edge rushers. So I think defensive line would be a close second.
So you're going other when it comes to that list on Twitter.
I'd go quarterback. You know,
quarterback, really?
Yeah, I think quarterback.
In free agency.
Yeah, because I think even if you draft one, you need to have one to that's here, a veteran.
Now, the Twitter poll said starting quarterback. So
did it?
I think it did, yeah, right? The Twitter poll says starting quarterback.
Let's bring this thing back up so I can see this.
Yeah, starting quarterback. Is it realistic? That's what I'm asking. Is it realistic to get a good caliber starting quarterback in free agency? Now, are we talking just a caretaker, a guy, a placeholder until your rookie is ready?
That's what I would be looking at. That's how I would look at it.
And that would be your top priority?
Yeah, that would be my top priority. And a close second would be defensive line. Just because quarterback is – you were 31st in passing.
I know that.
So, I mean, you got to get better in that area. And even if you draft one, I mean, there's no telling if that kid can come in here and play right away. So you need a starting quarterback. You need to figure out what's going to happen at that position. Whether it's Tyrod or for somebody else, you got to figure out what's going on with that position.
I agree, but I don't know if that should be the top free agent priority. I think it might – I'd feel better if it were their top draft priorities. Mm-hmm. Like, let's find a franchise quarterback in the draft. Maybe it doesn't start right away, but let's find a franchise quarterback in the draft. If that's your top draft priority, I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. But in free agency, I just think it's unrealistic to think you're going to find a guy who's going to answer your questions long-term on the free agent market. I don't think that's realistic. You might find a guy to play a little bit.
Yeah, you can find a guy to play. And I'm not talking about finding a franchise quarterback in free agency. I'm talking about a bridge quarterback, finding a guy who can come in here and win you some games until, or even get you through the season, winning some games until you feel like the guy that you drafted is ready to go. I think that should be a high priority. I mean, even the draft is high in terms of quarterback, but I feel like you need a good quarterback in terms of the free agent market to come in here and win you some games.
Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. With free agency just a month away, what should be the Bills' top free agent priority? 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Let us know what you think. It's up there on Twitter as our Twitter poll. We'd love to hear your voice on the line. Let's take a couple of tweets on this. Thomas Takes Sports Podcast. I would say try to re-sign those guys first. If we can't, we need depth in free agency. Well, yeah, and that's why I'm going there too. I'm thinking Preston Brown and E.J. Gaines. Get those settled first. You can get those settled now in the next month or so. Get those settled up, or at least figure out. You know, we talked at length yesterday about E.J. Gaines and how the likelihood is he's going to want to hit the free agent market, especially if there's $9 million out there to be had for a cornerback spot someplace. But if you can get him signed up, if you can't convince him that this is the place for him, I would do that, and I would do that in the next month or so. That would be my top priority.
I would say, and we know how this thing works, the combine, a lot of conversations happen at the combine, especially for guys that were already on your team. If you want that guy back, it's not supposed to happen, but you know that – oh, hey, we're in this bar together. That's crazy. It's such a coincidence. You know, and they start to talk about contract and what needs to happen to be able to bring a player back. And I think I would be shocked if they're not already trying to talk to those agents and trying to get if it's EJ Gaines, if it's Preston Brown, or both, trying to get those guys signed up before they hit the free agent market. Because once they hit the free agent market, there's no telling what's going to happen. If you want to get those guys back, you need to go ahead and lock them up, just like San Fran did with their quarterback out there. Try to get those guys before the free agency opens.
803-0550, the number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think about that. News from the Bills today. News dealing with the coaching staff today. The Bills have hired a new wide receivers coach. First, you should know that Phil McGagan, who's been here for the last year, left the Bills, a lateral move to the Los Angeles Chargers to be receivers coach there. He has a pre-existing relationship with Anthony Lynn, and he elected to go out west. Phil McGagan leaves the Bills after 1 year, and the Bills filled the position this morning. They've hired veteran NFL coach Terry Robiskie to be the wide receivers coach. He's been an NFL coach for the last 36 years. He's 63 years old. 19 of those 36 years, the receivers coach, the longest stint coming with the Atlanta Falcons from 2008 through 2015. But his resume, impressive. The last couple of years with Tennessee, the long stint with Atlanta, a year with the Dolphins, a couple of years with the Cleveland Browns. He actually was the Browns' interim head coach for a while, but he's been with Tennessee, he's been with Cleveland, he's been with Oakland. His longest coaching tenure with the Raiders, 12 seasons there. He reached the playoffs with them 7 times and won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. He's been around the game, and you, in fact, have had some contact with Terry Robiskie during your NFL career, Donald.
Yeah, he interviewed me at the Combine.
Did he? Where was he then? Do you recall?
He was with the Falcons. He was in Atlanta from, what, 2008, 2015? So
yeah.
He was with the Falcons at that time, and obviously, I don't know if you remember, but a lot of people might remember that his son was in the league as well.
Yep.
Brian Robiskie.
Yep.
Came from, what, Ohio State, I believe. He interviewed me there, and he's a cool dude. He's coached some very good receivers. And you talked about him being a coach in the NFL for so long. He's been mostly throughout his career a wide receivers coach more than anything else, more than offensive coordinator, any of the rest of that stuff. He's been a wide receivers coach, and he's coached some of the great wide receivers in the game. The Julio Jones is the Vincent Jackson. Who was the other guy? Roddy White had out in Atlanta. You know, he's had some good ones. So I think the receivers here should be excited. The guys who are still on the roster should be excited about having him. And he should be excited because he gets to kind of – I mean, he and the rest of the coaching staff get to kind of put together the type of receivers that they want to have here in Buffalo, you know, he and Brian Daboll. So it'll be exciting.
You know, Robiskie, you talk a lot about obviously you played the position. You know what you were looking for in a receivers coach. Robiskie played in the league. He was an eighth-round pick of the Raiders coming out in 1977. But he played running back in the league, played with the Dolphins, played with the Raiders, and played under some good coaches, John Madden, Tom Flores, Don Shula. That was so long ago, 36, 37 years ago. And obviously he's coached receivers for most of his career. But what were you looking for? You've talked a couple of times about how your receivers coach here had never played in the NFL. And I think you were wondering if he had ever played the position, right?
Yeah. I think when you're a player in this league, it's something different when you have a guy who's played the position or even just played in the NFL. It's something different about that because they understand everything that you're going through. Now, they're still hard on you because they have to be hard on you. But it's just something different because they understand when to pull back a little bit in practice or when to push you a little bit more. They understand different things that you're going through off the field and they understand how to talk to players, all of that stuff. It's just something different. And there's a comfort that the players will get if they know that a guy has played the position. They respect. It's not that they don't respect coaches that haven't played the position. It's just that when you play the position, it's like, you know what? Coach played this thing. He knows what he's talking about. And you might play a little bit harder for that. Not that you won't play hard for a guy who hasn't. But you might have in your mind, if there's a guy who never played the position or never played in the NFL, maybe even never played football, you're like, man, this dude don't know what he's talking about.
Even if they do, you probably think.
Even if they do, yeah. You still have it in the back of your mind. He might know what he's talking about. And you still have to, if he's trying to teach a certain technique – unless you are a star wide receiver, they don't typically mess with those guys. But if you're a rookie coming into this thing or a young player in this thing, you're going to have in the back of your mind, this dude, they never played this position at all. Now, I'm going to do whatever technique you're asking me to do, but ultimately, you don't know what you're talking about. And if it's not working, coach, I mean, what's up? How do we get this thing right? Because it's something different when you have a coach who has actually played that position or played in the NFL.
You, of course, played the position in the NFL, and you watched this Bills team last year. What do you think this receiving corps, Donald, needs from their coach? Obviously, injuries were a major factor with the receiving corps. They traded away Sammy Watkins in the middle of August. That changed the whole landscape of the receiving corps. But what, if you were running the show here, what would you charge your receivers coach to do? What would you ask Terry Robiskie to do with the group that you know you have here? You know, Calvin Benjamin, maybe Jordan Matthews, Deontay Thompson maybe coming back, Zay Jones coming back, all of them, the whole group. What would you say their number one job should be, and what would you tell that coach Robiskie to do?
I think the biggest thing is just for all coaches that are coming in somewhere, the biggest thing is get back to basics. You know, understand the system that we're trying to get done, but get back to the basics of route running, the basics of catching the football and focusing in on the football, getting these guys to focus in on the football. For a guy like Zay Jones, who had a good amount of drops this year, just get him to calm down a little bit and get back to just having fun, focusing on the ball, not trying to do too much. I mean, there's you have to learn the system first as a coach coming into this thing so that you know what you're teaching the players. And you have certain techniques that you're going to teach those guys in terms of getting separation. If you look at a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, really, you know that he's a big body guy. You know he's not the fastest guy, but you're trying to teach him, hey, lean into these guys a little bit more so that you can create some separation from those DBs. You look at a guy like Zay Jones, it's really just about focusing on the ball and the catches, you know, and trying to get him to calm down a little bit on the field. Deontay Thompson had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I mean, you can always get better at certain things, with little things, but he had a pretty good season. But I would think with those three guys, it's really just getting back to the basics of route running and catching the ball.
You know, with the injuries, with the trade of Sammy last August, you look back at 2017, you'd probably think wide receiver is maybe the one position group. And we'll get to that next week, by the way, but the one position group where they can really use a major, major upgrade.
Yes, a major
big-time
upgrade. So I think, I mean, here's a question for you.
Okay.
Who would you think is more excited right now? Would it be Robiskie coming in knowing that they need a major upgrade and they're probably going to do some things here in free agency
personnel,
and in the
yeah.
draft to upgrade that position, and you know you get to develop these guys? Or Coach Butler, John Butler, who comes in knowing he has these safeties that had great seasons, he has a great young corner in Tre'Davious White. They got to figure out on the other side, but who would be more excited about it?
Yeah, well, clearly one of them has a bigger job ahead,
yeah.
you would think. That would be Robiskie. These are the two new coaches. Yeah, Butler comes in with a group that had a pretty good year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it a lot yesterday, the safeties especially. Trey White on the other side. Butler, the new defensive backs coach, comes into a group that probably needs some tweaks. Probably, obviously, they can get better, but walks into a situation where they're pretty good. Robiskie comes into a situation where, as you just pointed out, you would have to believe there's going to be some personnel additions, whether draft or free agency, and maybe not even premium free agents, maybe even down-the-line guys.
Mm-hmm.
Robiskie's not sure yet who the quarterback's going to be, the guy throwing to his receiving group.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of a wild card as well, you know. I would think Robiskie is who's more excited? I don't know. You know, you want an easy job? Be the defensive backs coach.
Be the defensive, yeah. Now, if you're the defensive backs coach coming in here and you're looking on film and you're seeing what these guys did great, just don't try to change everything. Don't
mm-hmm.
try to change all of the techniques and all of that stuff. And I don't think they would, because you have the same defensive coordinator and all of that stuff. But you do get that, though. You get sometimes a coach comes in and he's been coaching this certain technique for a long time. And so you switch up everything that these guys have been doing in terms of technique, footwork, different things like that. And then all of a sudden, you get 2 years ago where Ronald Darby and Stephon Gilmore had horrible seasons to start out the season. It was really about them changing their technique. You know, everything was off for those guys. And you're like, wait, what's going on? Why are they playing like this? We've seen them play a lot better the year before.
Yeah.
So for Coach Butler coming into this thing, you got to look at it and say, man, I got some good players here. I don't want to change too much of what they did. You know, it's hard because I've been coaching this technique. They're not doing this technique, but I want to coach this technique. That's a tough position to be in.
They all wind up putting their own stamp on it. But Terry Robiskie, brand new receivers coach for the Buffalo Bills, that announcement just made earlier this morning. The announcement late yesterday in Indianapolis, our old buddy Frank Reich is the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. That announcement came about 3:30 yesterday. Frank Reich, of course, one of the major questions, Andrew Luck. You think you take the job figuring, well, maybe I get a chance to coach Andrew Luck. We got our franchise quarterback in place. Maybe you don't. Maybe his health precludes that. At his news conference yesterday, Frank Reich was asked about Andrew Luck and what he knows about his current status, his current health status. Here's what Frank Reich had to say.
I can tell you as a quarterback, former quarterback and coach, I've had the greatest admiration for him as a player. I think to have such a supremely talented player with such strong character and such great humility and such a team-first guy is rare, and I couldn't be more happy about working with the prospect. As far as what I've been told, you know, Chris gave the update last week. That's the update that I got, and that's all I needed.
So he doesn't know much. He doesn't know much about what Andrew Luck's status is. Our old buddy Pat McAfee, who we had on the show Monday this week, was at that news conference in Indy yesterday. And Pat McAfee asked Frank, quite frankly, about being the second choice after they tried to hire Josh McDaniels. Listen to that exchange.
Pat McAfee, Barstool Heartland. How's it going, Frank? Great to see you.
Are you ready to come out and take some snaps again for me?
Listen, it's like
I got a wristband for you.
It's like dealing cards.
Dealing cards, right? Right. That's what I taught you.
Frank Reich is the only quarterback coach in the history of the NFL to coach a player to a perfect passer rating on Thanksgiving. People forget that. So from coaching Peyton to last year, you had Carson Wentz, Nick Foles. Now you have Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett. Do you think you just an abundance of talent surrounds you at all times? And what will you do with Andrew Luck to make him magical? And also a follow-up to that, do you hate or love Josh McDaniels for what happened? I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Congratulations.
Okay, love that. Man, I miss that right there. I miss that kind of humor. What was the question? No, I'm just kidding. You got me. The key to make Andrew Luck magical is this is a team game. As great as he is, and I believe he's the best. But this game, the reason that we all love this game, I just came off of a team that we lost our franchise quarterback and still won a Super Bowl. So I know Andrew embraces it. This game is not built on any one player. He is magical. He has special, unique traits and abilities that I respect as much as anybody. And I can't wait to work with him. But if we're going to win championships, and that's the plan, it's going to be about surrounding our whole team and the way we're going to bring out the best in each other. And as far as the second question, I'm going to answer that one just for you, Pat. The backup role has suited me well in my career.
He's right. He's been a career backup quarterback, and now he backs up Josh McDaniels, I guess, as the second choice.
He's crazy.
Right. Good answer.
I mean, you guys, backup quarterbacks make a lot of money, and now he's the backup head coach. The backup head coach. That's crazy. Now maybe he can go and lead that team to a Super Bowl. We'll see.
I think Frank will have success there. Maybe not instantly, but I do think he'll have success. And obviously, we all wish him well. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Field Yates is going to join us from ESPN, and he's written a post about making every NFL team's biggest free agent decision. You might be surprised by what he thinks the Bills' biggest free agent decision is. We'll talk with Field Yates from ESPN when we return. We're just getting going here. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy listening intently to Donald Jones.
I mean, you just told me you weren't listening.
I do listen to you. I just got a lot going on here to get the show going. Sometimes it's a little smoother than others. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. We are a month away from free agency. March 14th, the NFL league year begins. Joining us now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, ESPN NFL reporter, co-host of their Fantasy Football Focus podcast, regular contributor to NFL Live. You see him there almost daily in SportsCenter. Happy to have Field Yates from ESPN on the line with us. Field, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
No problem, guys. Good afternoon, and thanks a lot for having me on.
Sure. Loved your post. Went up yesterday. GM for a day, making every NFL team's biggest free agent decisions. This is decision time in the NFL, right? These are decisions that are going on across the hallway here at One Bills Drive. Everybody right now is probably putting their plan together, I would think, around the league.
Yeah, it's certainly a time to be forward-thinking right now. Obviously, there are some elements that can change between now and the start of the league year. You've got players recovering from injuries. You have to monitor their progress and their health. You've got players that might be candidates for the franchise tag, and you have to deliberate whether or not it's worth using that tag. And, of course, the window begins in about, let's see now, just 6 days for NFL teams before they can start placing the franchise tag on players of a high caliber. So there's certainly a lot going on right now in the NFL, even if it is somewhat quiet publicly.
Hey, Field, from what you know of how NFL football departments work, what is free agency top priority? I mean, just because of the calendar, do they get a plan set for free agency and then move on to the draft? Is that the way it typically works?
You know, I'm not sure if the word priority is exactly where I would go, because we know that there are teams that largely eschew free agency year to year, and there are others that dig deep into free agency, and there are teams that change based on the year. I mean, Jacksonville is positioned right now, and so is Philadelphia, to really be quiet in free agency, other than perhaps some own player retention, but they have been aggressive last year. Philadelphia was catalyzed in part this year by the play of Alshon Jeffrey and LeGarrette Blount and Chris Long and other players that were added via free agency either this past year or years previous. In Jacksonville, we know that for each of the past few years, no one's been more aggressive in free agency than the Jaguars. But both of those teams might say, you know something, given the cap constraints we currently have, this is our year to sit back, watch from afar, and focus on player retention, whereas other teams are in a much more palatable financial spot that free agency could be a more active period for them. But I would say this, if it's not a priority, it's a domino, because the draft takes a lot different shape once you see how your roster is flushed out by free agency and also how other rosters are flushed out by free agency.
Hey, Field, do you see a difference maybe in the past couple of years versus, you know, 5 to 10 years ago in terms of free agency? We know there are certain teams that will typically pay a lot of money in free agency, but do you see it changing a little bit where you see a lot more teams saying, you know what, we're not going to pay all of these guys top dollars. We want to really build through the draft, and we'll go after the second and third wave of free agents.
Yeah, certainly the rookie wage scale, which was altered in the 2011 CBA, has impacted the way the teams are able to approach their roster building. I mean, there was a time when you drafted a player number one overall, and next thing you know, he's going to be making, for example, like Sam Bradford, 6 years and $72 million before he's even taken an NFL snap. That's $12 million annually. Now, that isn't to say that a guy that gets drafted number one overall this year won't be paid handsomely, but I believe the starting package for him will be somewhere around 4 years and $25 million. So you're talking about less than $7 million per season in the first 4 years of his deal. And the trickle-down impact is that you see these veteran free agents that, you know, at the time, I think there was this idea that it was bad business for the NFL to have players that had never stepped foot on the field leading the pack in terms of financial pay. Well, part of it's been the squeeze that we've seen for veteran players who are saying, I'm available. And teams are saying, so is someone who is 5 years younger and cheaper than you. And that has impacted the way that teams have spent in free agency.
And I also wonder, and I want to get to some specifics here, Field, but the way the Bills have done it, and many teams have done it in recent years, it seems, is to wait out the market. So there's this splash of free agent signings that will come March 14th. But the Bills and other teams have had success waiting deep into the almost into the summer before they acquire some pretty important pieces to their roster.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of the – there's almost two layers to free agency. Well, multiple layers, but two that I wanted to highlight here. And one is those initial splash free agent signings. And after last year, people may be saying, well, look at what happened with Jacksonville. It really sparked their season this year to have a Calais Campbell, to have an A.J. Boye on the roster, have a guy like Barry Church on the roster. But – how many times have we looked back at free agent splashes and said, whoa, 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 whoa. That may not have been as much of a, you know, a find as we thought it was. May not have been as much of a home run as we thought it was. I mean, a team like Tampa Bay has struggled in free agency in recent seasons. A guy like DeSean Jackson comes over last year, and some are wondering whether or not he stays beyond this offseason. Chris Baker, the defensive lineman, same thing goes in Tampa Bay. So I think that the two layers to free agency are the reaction to what happens up front and then what actually happens with those players, because the more you pay, just naturally the more risk you incur, because unlike in other sports, there is a salary cap in the NFL.
Yeah. We're Field Yates from ESPN, NFL reporter and contributor to SportsCenter and NFL Live. So you go through every team and you put their most significant free agent decision the way you would do it. You happen to think that re-signing E.J. Gaines is the move for the Bills to make. I happen to agree with you, as a matter of fact. But give me your rationale for that, Field.
Well, let's start with depth. I mean, first of all, he's a good player, right? And publicly, again, the outside, we looked at that trade last year when it took place in middle of August or so for Sammy Watkins as, hey, the Bills just acquired a second-round pick. And E.J. Gaines was, to borrow sort of a cliche, a throw-in in that deal. But the Bills wouldn't have inquired on EJ if they didn't have some level of interest in the player and the traits that he brings to the table. He was not, in their eyes, just some, you know, anonymous player that is just, you know, helped make the, you know, the package balanced. This is a player they clearly had some level of interest in, and he played well this year. And then you get to the depth chart, and you look past EJ Gaines, and obviously Tre'Davious White locked into a top cornerback spot, and probably will be for a long time in Buffalo, but you know, Leonard Johnson, veteran player, has bounced around the league, best suited to play in a nickel role and play a bunch on special teams. But who are you counting on besides, I would say, really EJ and Tre'Davious White as players that you say snap in and snap out? You expect them to be playing at a high level. Right now, the depth chart, even though it was significantly boosted across the secondary last year, and some of those moves no one thought were going to be major home runs, like, for example, Jordan Poyer, I think that EJ Gaines has quickly immersed himself into that Buffalo culture. And you know, how many times, and you guys probably know better than I, did Sean McDermott use the word process this year?
Yeah.
And part of the process is building a culture. And it sure seems like EJ Gaines fits into both the process and fits culturally within the Buffalo Bills, how they want to go about business and what kind of players they want. And for that reason, I think he's a guy that should really be a top priority for them this offseason.
We spent a little time on our show yesterday looking at SpotTrack, their numbers, their projections for a contract for EJ Gaines. They had him upwards of $9 million, $9.5 million. Does that sound realistic? You think he could get that on the open market?
Yeah, I think it sort of depends on how this all unfolds. And, you know, if Buffalo works aggressively to try to lock up a player, it tends to be that if you do a deal with the team and, you know, before free agency, you're willing to, I mean, not take a discount, but the team is more comfortable with the terms, because you get to the open market and you got competition, and all of a sudden you may say, well, listen, we were not prepared to go to $9 million, but, you know, Team Y is offering $8.75 million. Or even $9.25 million, and you might have to go up there and match that number. I would say that $9 million might be a little richer than I would have expected if you had mentioned EJ Gaines to me in the course of the open market. But nothing should surprise. You know, it's a rising salary cap.
Yeah.
And if you look at the NFL free agency, basically the positions that get paid are this. It starts with quarterbacks, but quarterbacks rarely hit the open market. Pass rushers get paid. Cornerbacks get paid. And offensive linemen have been getting paid recently, as we saw last year when teams were forking over north of $10 million per season to top players, and not just tackles, guards and centers as well.
You know, Field, when you look at Coach McDermott and really Brandon Bean's history from Carolina, they let Josh Norman go. Now, Josh Norman was getting, what, $15 million a year on the open market, and I guess they didn't want to get into that market. But he doesn't seem like he really puts the priority on the cornerback position. He puts more priority up front and defense, you know, edge pass rushers and defensive tackle and linebacker. So you see them actually getting into that ballpark of $9 million a year when you look at his track record?
Yeah, it's a fair point. You know, I do wonder how much how much input they had on the final say on whether to rescind that franchise tag on Josh Norman, or whether that was more of a GM Dave Gettleman, who at the time was the Carolina GM, decision. How much latitude Sean and Brandon had, I am not sure, to be clear. But yeah, it's a fair point, because they have sort of found a way to find value within this system, whether it was Josh Norman himself before Josh Norman kind of became this top flight cornerback, and Carolina has routinely found players or resurrected players. And then Buffalo, you know, a good example would be EJ, is sort of the tailor-made example. At the same time, I think the Bills, especially if they move on from Tyrod Taylor, will find themselves in a fairly comfortable financial spot. You know, there aren't too many contracts on the books. If you say to yourself, that's onerous. You know, I think Marcell Dareus' contract probably would have been one of those, but he obviously was traded mid-season. And, you know, there aren't any other players on the roster. And maybe Cordy Glenn is a bigger number that you expect than you want him to be, but, you know, plays an important position and at his best can be a very good player. So I think at some point you do have to make investments. And, you know, going back to the culture idea, you know, I think you don't want players to believe that they are merely fungible because of ability. You have to find players that fit what you do and how you want to do it. And from the outside, again, from my view, you know, 500 miles away, it certainly feels like E.J. Gain checked a lot of the boxes.
We're with Field Yates, ESPN NFL reporter. You go through the entire league, not just the Buffalo Bills, and I'm fascinated by your analysis of the Patriots' decisions they have to make on a couple of fairly key players, cornerback Malcolm Butler, running back Deion Lewis, and tackle Nate Solder. You think Butler's going to be the odd man out there, huh?
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall, and obviously people know the story of Malcolm Butler and the Super Bowl, but he wants to get paid. I mean, I think every player who goes to free agency wants to get paid. Let's start right there. But I think if you look at the fact that Patriots didn't even have him on the field in the Super Bowl, I mean, how can you possibly imagine them meeting a number if it's $7, $8, $9, $10, $11 million per season for a player like Malcolm Butler? And obviously they sort of, you know, they made it clear who their number one cornerback was last offseason by paying Stephon Gilmore. And, you know, he played fantastic for them this year. You know, he was dominant from basically week five on. And they feel as though they've got depth beyond that. And then at the other spots, you know, I think Deion Lewis is kind of a classic case of they like the player a lot. He's really a good player. I think you have to kind of see where the market goes with Deion Lewis, though, because if somebody says, let's make him a priority and pay him $5 million per season, and how many running backs do you think are not replaceable in the NFL? I think the answer is, it's a short list.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see guys like Kareem Hunt last year that make a major mark. Jordan Howard make a major mark the year before. Players that were drafted in the third round and beyond, I mean, you can routinely find backs with great value. That is probably the most replaceable position in the NFL right now. So the Patriots may say, we love Deion Lewis, but if Deion Lewis gets a $5 million per year offer somewhere else, you know, it may just be a hard number to meet because they got other players they have to address as well.
Now, I want to stay in the AFC East and talk about Josh McCown and the Jets. And what do they do with him?
Yeah, I think the Jets are going to be in there in terms of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. And so some of these decisions are difficult to make without sort of contingencies, right? If we knew that Kirk Cousins was not going to be available, or if we knew that the Jets were not planning to aggressively pursue a quarterback in free agency and instead intended to use a draft pick on a quarterback, then I think it's obvious. You go with Josh McCown, you lure him back on a 1 or 2 year deal. You talk about culture and fit. I mean, Josh McCown is like revered incredibly in New York. I mean, just did unbelievable work. I'm not sure if you guys spent any time around him, but you can tell why he's so well-liked. He's got a magnetic personality and certainly has a great passion for football. But if the Jets get in on the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, they are well positioned to make an aggressive run. They've got plenty of cap space. They certainly have a need. And you talk about contracts and onerous contracts. You know, that's a team that last year kind of purged the books of their big deals. And really, besides Muhammad Wilkerson, I'm not sure there are too many big deals on the Jets books right now that you're saying, all right, it's time for us to move on from that player, or else we're going to find ourselves handcuffed from the cap standpoint. So Kirk Cousins, I think, is sort of I think if I were to play GM for a day for the Jets, that would be my preferred route. But he can only go to one team, and Denver's going to be in the mix as well. And Minnesota will be in the mix, and I'm sure there'll be others as well.
Hey, Field, give us a player who right now is not going to be a free agent, not scheduled to be a free agent, but will be, you think, a cap casualty cut or any type of cut and will end up on the free agent market.
Well, I think, you know, it goes back to quarterbacks. And, you know, is Tyrod Taylor an example of that? Is Mike Glennon an example of that? Because those guys can create such a domino impact around the NFL. And I'm not saying that Mike Glennon, for example, is a surefire starter somewhere else. But NFL teams understand there's a supply and demand issue that could really lead to a spot where, all right, we don't love this player, but we like him enough to use him as a one-year holdover. So I think those are a couple of, you know, I think the quarterback spot is always where we are going to be looking, specific to these cap casualties to kind of get the ball rolling and reset or recreate the markets. You know, but there are a bunch of other guys as well that I think, we may not realize right now are going to be free agents, but will eventually become free agents. And I think some of it is also what you're looking for. You know, as a player like Tamba Ali, for example, the Kansas City Chiefs, likely to become available. Is he a guy that you want to pay $8 million a year to on a multi-year deal? No, but if you're a team that's looking for, you know, some edge presence, maybe the Buffalo Bills are an example of that. On a one-year deal, I think Tamba Ali is a guy that's got a lot left in the tank on a one-year deal to make a notable mark. So certainly a lot of players are likely to become available, and I think those are going to contribute to the way that the draft and free agency shake out.
I feel we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you, when you talk about quarterback situations waiting for shoes to drop, which shoes are going to drop up in Minnesota? Somebody might come free up there, right?
You know, something interestingly enough, maybe the first shoe to drop in Minnesota is to figure out whether or not Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a free agent. There's some gray area there as to whether or not his contract will pull from last season. It's a much more nuanced conversation than sort of a 30-second window allows. But essentially, there is a belief that because he spent a certain amount of time on PUP last year, his contract may have just told, and that he will be under contract for 2018 to that same number that he was for 2017. At the same time, I kind of think the writing was on the wall in terms of whether or not the Vikings would ever address him as their utilize him as their surefire only starter going into 2018. I mean, he wasn't even active for the NFC Championship game. He was on the bench. He was in street clothes because the team activated Sam Bradford instead. So to me, I think it's Case Keenum one, and then I think it's probably, if you can retain one of Bradford or Bridgewater, and it may not be palatable from a cap standpoint to do either of that, then, you know, that's probably the intended goal. Whether it happens that way or not is a whole different question.
It's going to be worth watching. Field, thanks for spending so much time with us here today. We appreciate your insight. Thank you.
No problem, guys.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL reporter. You can catch him on SportsCenter, NFL Live. He's the co-host of their Fantasy Football Focus podcast. Field joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Some interesting things to talk about from that discussion. We'll do that when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. Our thanks again to Field Yates from ESPN for joining us, who set up a lot of things. I guess I knew this or heard this, but it's going to be interesting. I think Minnesota holds the cards to getting this quarterback thing going, at least in the next couple of weeks here, Donald. You know,
figuring
out what to do with that group.
They definitely have to figure out what to do with that group. I think Case Keenum ends up the guy. He just had a great season. Sam Bradford, he's had some good seasons, but he's just like a piece of glass. He's like a China doll for them. he can't stay healthy. I would think that Case Keenum is going to be the guy, but what are the terms? And that's the biggest thing. What are his terms? Because I don't know if they truly believe he can be their franchise quarterback moving forward. He's been a journeyman type of quarterback his entire career. We played against him last year in L.A. So I think they're looking at him some like the way the Jets were looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick. You did it once. We need you to prove it again. So maybe they put him on a one-year deal, prove it type of deal, or maybe even like a Tyrod Taylor type of contract, and we figure out what we want to do with you moving forward.
The setup to free agency is coming. We are a month away from the official start. The legal tampering period is a couple of days before that, and we'll continue to discuss this. It's our Twitter poll today. Deals with the Bills getting set for free agency a month away. Want to know from you, what should be Buffalo's priority? What should be the Bills' top free agent priority to set them up for the draft? On Twitter, 38% of you say re-sign Preston Brown and E.J. Gaines. 35% of you say get a starting quarterback out of free agency. Some people just press quarterback no matter what.
I'm telling
quarterback,
you.
Quarterback, boom. That's, you know.
Quarterback. That's the question. We could ask a total defensive question and put quarterback in there just for laughs and giggles, and they'll pick quarterback.
What color is the sky?
Quarterback.
19% say they need more offensive weapons. We'll discuss more of this in the next hour, 803-0550. And toll-free, the number to call to discuss with us about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft, too. Bucky Brooks, ESPN or NFL.com. Bucky Brooks says the Bills are one of five teams that need to dominate the draft at the end of April. He'll be joining us next hour when we return. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where the Bills made another switch in their coaching staff today. They've hired a veteran assistant coach on the offensive side of the ball. Terry Robiskie is the Bills' brand new wide receivers coach. Robiskie has been an NFL coach for the last 36 years, 19 of them as a receivers coach, and he'll handle the Bills' receivers. He is 63 years old. Most recently spent the last couple of years with the Tennessee Titans, but long stints with the Atlanta Falcons and the Oakland Raiders. He replaces Phil McGagan, who made a lateral move to Los Angeles. He'll be the receivers coach for the Los Angeles Chargers with Anthony Lynn. Kansas City Chiefs say they do not plan to re-sign linebacker Derek Johnson. He'll be a free agent when the new league year begins next month. Johnson lost some of his playing time this past year with Reggie Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Lewis taking some of those snaps. He's 35 years old. Derek Johnson was Kansas City's first-round draft pick in 2005. Frank Reich introduced yesterday as a new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He says he doesn't mind being the second choice after Josh McDaniels, says the backup role has suited him well throughout his career. Former Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel will participate in the developmental Spring League this year, part of his attempt to return to the NFL. Spring League says Manziel has signed a deal to play in the Elite D League, which runs in Austin, Texas, from late March through April 15th. Manziel told ABC the other day he's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Buffalo Sabres move on to play at Ottawa tomorrow night. Last night, Ryan O'Reilly had 3 points for the second straight night, and the Sabres knocked off the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-3. O'Reilly with a power play goal and assisted on a couple of goals. Chad Johnson made 26 saves. The Sabres go to Ottawa to play tomorrow night. And in Olympic hockey, Team USA lost to Slovenia today. The United States blew a 2-goal lead and lost a 3-2 stunner in overtime. The Olympic opener for both teams, Slovenia captain Jan Mrsek scored the tying goal with a minute 37 left in regulation and scored the winner 38 seconds into overtime. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We talked about free agency just a month away now in the NFL, the draft not too far behind. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a guy who makes his living forecasting, talking about the NFL draft. Used to make his living in the NFL as a wide receiver. In fact, was a Bills draft pick in 1994, played a year with the Bills. Now NFL Network analyst, host of the Move the Sticks podcast. Happy to have our buddy Bucky Brooks on the line with us. Bucky, John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. How you doing?
Good. You've got a post about the five teams that need to dominate the NFL draft coming up at the end of April. The Bills are one of them. Is this just because of the volume of picks, do you think, Bucky, or why do you say that?
Anytime you have the volume of picks that the Buffalo Bills have, you have an opportunity to really be major players in the draft. And in a draft that is deep in several positions, the Buffalo Bills have an opportunity to really fortify their roster. What they were able to accomplish last year, going to the playoffs after making so many moves during the preseason, during the regular season, is kind of remarkable. Well, now you have an opportunity to really fortify and augment that roster with some more blue-chip players should lead to more production and better performance as you get deeper into the playoffs going forward.
You know, Brucky, a lot of people here would like for the Bills to trade away those draft picks and take a quarterback. Whatever you got to do, go get that quarterback. And the Bills are sitting at 2021 in the draft. It's going to take a lot to trade all the way up to get any of those top quarterbacks, as I think they're all going to be gone by the top 8 to 10 picks. So in your opinion, how should they approach it? Should they stay where they are and just keep their picks and draft in terms of depth and get some more players all across the board, or should they move up to try to get a quarterback?
I would say this first and foremost. One, you got to evaluate the quarterbacks independently of what you're thinking you may do on draft day. Are there enough quarterbacks that really merit being drafted in the top 10? Top 10 category is sacred ground. Those guys are expected to be franchise players, stars. Even if you look back at some of the Buffalo Bills players that have been drafted in that range, those guys are expected to be immediate difference makers. Think about Bruce Smith being number one overall pick coming off and the impact that he had on the franchise. And so when you look at the quarterbacks in this class, I like the quarterbacks in the class. I can't say that I absolutely love them to the point where I see any of those guys being worthy of moving all the way up to get them. I think the Buffalo Bills need to just kind of play it safe and conservative. When you're sitting there with two first-round picks back-to-back, you can get two really, really good players that can be starters at two key positions. You then have additional picks in the second and third round that can help you fortify it. So, yes, you want to address the quarterback position, But I think you need to be careful mortgaging the farm for a quarterback that we're not necessarily convinced can be a franchise quarterback.
Well, Bucky, how many of these quarterbacks belong in the top 10, and who are they? What do you see?
I would say there are two quarterbacks that belong in the top 10. I would say Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen are guys that are top 10 talents based on what they bring to the table physically, based on how they play and how they project in most systems. I believe after that, you have some question marks when you get to Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and the like. And so the more questions you have, the more you need to bring them down. Because when I take a guy in the first round, this guy needs to be an immediate impact player, someone who can get on the field right away. And even though I know we on the outside, media people, we talk about quarterbacks getting pushed up, inside that building in meeting rooms, you grade the player for what he is and what you think he can be. You don't push him up because you have a need. You just need to make sure that those quarterbacks are worthy of being taken in the top 10. If not, there's another player that is worthy. Take that guy because he's going to give you the performance and the production that you expect when you select him that high.
You know, Bucky, I always sound like, especially on the show, that I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. I'm on his bandwagon. But I think there's something to be said, and it was the same thing last year with Deshaun Watson, and so many different people had questions about him on the field. Baker Mayfield is a kid that knows how to win. He's a kid that has a lot of passion for the game. So aside from the height and then the on-the-field or off-the-field questions, I mean, what can you really question about his game?
Well, there are a couple things, and I'll say this about Baker Mayfield. I love his game. I love how he plays. I love the energy and the swag and the confidence that he brings to the field. When you talk to scouts, they talk about him being the energizer bunny. Here's what I'll say is the concern about Baker Mayfield. When you're right above 6 feet, you haven't seen many quarterbacks have a lot of success in the league over time at that height. He also, if you're vertically challenged and you're not tall, you expect him to have blue qualities in other areas, meaning they're an elite athlete like a Michael Vick. They're deadly accurate or they have exceptional arm strength like a Drew Brees, or they're special in a ton of ways like Russell Wilson. I don't know, when you look at Baker Mayfield separate and apart from Oklahoma, if you can say that physically he is special in that regard to be worthy of being like a top 10 or top 15 pick. I think he is good. I think he's outstanding at Oklahoma. But I also would say this. He's in a situation where he's basically driving a Cadillac. That's a top-tier offensive line, terrific playmakers on the outside. He's good. Can he elevate the squad on the strength of his right arm? I'm not confident in that. And so because of that, you got to downgrade him just a little bit.
With Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, got a post up on NFL.com saying the Bills are one of five teams that need to nail the 2018 NFL draft. Part of it, I wonder what you think about this, Bucky. It would seem to me part of it is being flexible enough with those picks the Bills have to be ready to move. Say if Baker Mayfield slips down there to 15, you know, 13, 15, or Josh Allen is available. That 21 and 22 pick will allow the Bills to maybe make a move up there if they have a pretty good conviction on one of those guys, and that could be important, that flexibility, couldn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely could, because what you always is doing, you're trying to go into the draft with enough ammunition to make the moves that you want to get the players that you deem to be really, really good fit. I think the big thing that you have to understand with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, they've talked about changing the culture in the locker room. There's certain kind of guys that they want to bring in, more of a blue-collar feel to the team that they're putting together, and so all of those quarterbacks have to exhibit those qualities for them to be under strong consideration. And I think that the Buffalo Bills may have an ace in the hole, someone in the pocket that they're looking at that may not be one of the guys that has been talked about. Maybe in that mold 2021, maybe somewhere in the second round, they have a quarterback that they've earmarked to be a guy that could be a franchise quarterback for them, even though others may not see them necessarily value the same way Buffalo values.
You got any names you'd like to drop into that?
There are a ton of names. Like, when you think about the next tier guys, like, obviously, a name that people talk about, Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, could be a guy that could be a leader and a model quarterback when you look at his leadership ability and the success that he's had at Oklahoma State with playmakers. He could fit and qualify. We saw down at the Senior Bowl, my wife from West Kentucky. We've seen Luke Falk. There's some other guys that can play the quarterback position in the way that you need to play it to win. A lot of it depends on how the rest of your roster constructed. We saw Nick Foles lead his team to the Super Bowl as a backup. Part of the reason is because the rest of the roster was so good that all he had to do was just do his job. He didn't have to be a superhero. We saw Case Keenum do the same thing in Minnesota, almost getting his team to the threshold because the rest of the team was talented and could support him. I think if the Buffalo Bills go about building the best team, they'll eventually find the quarterback they can drop in there to get them to where they want to go.
You know, Bucky, a lot of people here, as we're talking about quarterback, and we know quarterback is so important in the NFL, but you're talking about having a team around them, and especially weapons around that quarterback. The wide receiver position is something that they need to address as well here in the draft, whether it's a number one guy, whether it's just a speed demon that can get up the field. What are some names at the wide receiver position that the Bills might be looking at, maybe at 2021 or somewhere in the second round?
Well, when you think about the first-round guys that could come off the board, James Washington is a speed guy from Oklahoma State, can take the top off the defense, big-time playmaker. Christian Kirk from Texas A&M is probably the prototypical slot receiver, but he has tremendous game. He's a versatile playmaker. He's a guy that can make it happen on the outside, but also in the return game. There's some other guys. This year, you may not have the upper-tier guys like the number ones that we always talk about, but in the second and third round, there are a bunch of guys that can find a way to put the ball in the paint. I think the thing that you have to identify is, one, what's the style of offense that we're playing? How are we going to play? What is Brian Daboll going to do with these guys? What do they want on the perimeter in terms of the characteristics? There are plenty of guys that can fit the bill. It's really a matter of how do they want to play offensive football in Buffalo and who's going to be the trigger man, assuming that Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there.
Last thing I got for you, Bucky, your post is about the teams that need to dominate. Obviously, you've got the Bills among the top five. The Cleveland Browns with six picks in the top 65. Essentially, every 10 picks, the Browns are going to be on the board as it stands right now in the draft. I mean, this has to be the most important draft that any team has ever had, I would think, this year.
Well, I think they have an opportunity to do a quick rebuild, and part of the reason I'm confident in their ability to rebuild it, all of those guys that have been hired to come over to do the personnel come from Green Bay. And having played in Green Bay, having been a part of the Ron Wolf way and what they go about it, they're going to look for quote-unquote football players, guys that are passionate about playing football, guys that feel with three P's. They're prototypical, they have great performance, and they're very, very productive. And so when you look at Cleveland and you look at what they're going to do, I absolutely believe they're going to try and get the best players, and I think they may find their quarterback outside of the draft. I think free agency is going to be where they're trying to find their guy to kind of lead their team.
Hey, Bucky, thanks. I hope we get a chance to talk to you at the Combine and maybe before the draft again. We appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst and former Bills wide receiver. He's got a post up on NFL.com. Five teams that need to dominate the 2018 NFL draft. He's got the Bills in there along with Cleveland, the New York Giants, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Indianapolis Colts. A lot of it has to do with volume, as he said right off the rip there. You know, teams that have a lot of picks, like the Browns and the Bills, need to dominate. You know, I mean, Cleveland's got to rebuild from 0-16.
Yeah, that's
I mean, every 10, you're going to get sick of it draft weekend.
You know, seeing them on the board?
Days. Cleveland Browns are on the board.
Cleveland Browns are on the board. I mean, I think they're going to take another quarterback. They've taken so many quarterbacks in the last decade. But they'll take another one. They are in a position to rebuild that thing, but they have to do it the right way. And like he was saying, they brought a bunch of guys over who have come from that Green Bay type of mold, and that's building through the draft. But they have to draft well. The Bills are in the same position. You have to draft well. You don't know what you're getting really out of these players once they get here, once they get some money in their pockets, all of that stuff. But that's why Coach McDermott always talks about a certain type of guy, a guy who really is passionate about football, a guy who loves to play football. I don't care how much money I have in my pocket, how much money those checks are bringing into me every week. I love to play this game. I have a certain characteristic on and off the field, in the community, all of that stuff. Smart guys, they want to bring those type of guys here. And I think it's going to be important that they do the same thing that they did last year. He talked about being the Bills being conservative, not necessarily jumping that far up the board to try to get a quarterback. And he's right, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, I'm so tired of not having a franchise quarterback here. You need to just go up there and get that guy. Well, if you go up there and get that guy and you trade away so many draft picks when you have so many different holes on your team and that guy is terrible, then what? Now you're looking at we gave up a lot of our draft picks, a lot of our ammunition to get that guy, and he's terrible, and we still haven't built out this roster. So I like his approach and staying where they are. If you want to take a quarterback at 2021, whoever's sitting there, whether it's Mason Rudolph, the kid Luke Falk, I think, from Washington State.
Mike White, Western Kentucky.
White from Western Kentucky. If you want to take one of those kids in the late in the first round, in the second round, early in the second round, something like that, I'm totally fine with that. But giving away your entire draft to get up there to number in the top 10 when you don't even know if these guys are going to pan out, that's a bit much.
We're with our thanks again to Bucky Brooks for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway Eat Fresh. Bucky Brooks from NFL.com. I agree with you. And that might be the most interesting thing that Bucky Brooks had to say, Donald, the fact that two things, the conservative nature of what might happen. And, look, no one would say that Bean and McDermott have been conservative yet
right.
in their tenure. They've been pretty bold in some of the moves they've made. But they have money to spend here, and they have holes to fill. And does it really make sense to roll the dice unless you really got a strong conviction on one of the top guys, which who knows if they do, wouldn't it make more sense to sit tight? And as Bucky said, this is what got my attention when he talked about fitting the mold of the type of player the Bills want, especially at the quarterback spot. It would seem that McDermott and Bean might have the kind of a prototype mindset that they want at their quarterback. Nathan Peterman has some of that as well. But maybe certainly they need a quarterback in the draft, and maybe there's somebody down the line a little bit, as you mentioned some of the names, who they like pretty much, knowing that it's not worth giving up all that other draft capital to move up to get a guy who might have some – it's not a sure thing. It's a difficult calculation.
Because none of these players are sure things.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. None of them are sure things. If it's quarterback, O-line, wide receiver, none of them are sure things. You're drafting them based off of potential. This kid did this in college, which is totally different than the NFL, but he has these tools, and I can develop those tools. So do you want to give up your entire draft for a kid that you don't even know what you're going to get out of that kid, when you can probably find a kid sitting there like a Mason Rudolph who has the same tools? He's tall. He has the big arm. He's going to have to learn and develop just like Sam Darnold, just like Rosen and the rest of those guys. The kid out of Richmond, the kid out of Washington State, White out of Western Kentucky, who had a very good Senior Bowl. I mean, even Josh Allen, you're looking at those guys. Lamar Jackson is a little bit of a wild card. I don't know what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson and where he will be. I think he'll still be there, obviously, but I don't know if the Bills will take him. I see him being more of a wide receiver. I just do, and it's sad to say, but I think that he's going to end up being a wide receiver in this league. But the rest of those guys, if you can sit there, they're probably still going to be sitting there for you at 2021 or even in the second round. If you feel like, man, we got this kid at D-tackle or defensive end or linebacker that we need to take right now, then you need to go ahead and do that.
Neither Rosen, none of these, I don't think, are available 20 or 21. Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, I don't think Josh Allen will be available 21.
He probably won't. Those four guys will probably be off
Mason
the board.
Mason Rudolph could be. Luke Falk should be. Mike White should be.
And Lamar Jackson will definitely be there.
That might not satisfy a lot of fans. I watched I went home. I did homework yesterday, Donald. I'm not averse to that. And I watched a Josh Rosen video for about an hour last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to like about him.
Quick release. Oh, yeah.
Athletic. Makes some good decisions. Makes other questionable decisions. But I'm sat there watching and thinking, do I want to give up a ton of draft capital to get this guy? Best quarterback in this draft? Probably is. He'd be if I had to pick a quarterback out of that group, I would go with him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at the rest of them too over the weeks ahead. But do I really want to, sell the farm to get Josh Rosen? Do I have that strong a conviction on him? No. Love what he does. Likes the way he throws the ball. He can, as I said, the ball comes out quickly, which is big for me. He seems to have the ability to throw from, a variety of different arm situations, different mm-hmm. platforms and stuff, athletic enough to get out of the way when he needs to. He's not going to scare you with his athleticism. A lot to like about him. But I thought to myself watching him yesterday, is he the kind of guy I want to trade my draft to bet the whole franchise on? I don't think so.
I don't know about that. I just look at what the Bears gave up to go up one spot from 3 to 2 last year to get Trubisky. And you're talking about going from 2021 all the way up into the top 10 to get one of these guys. You have to give up basically your entire draft or a bunch of players on your team. And a lot of people have said, do it.
Yeah.
Give it all up. But I just don't see them doing that. I don't see Coach McDermott. And they've made some bold moves, but that is a bold move. That is a career-defining decision to make. Because if that guy does not pan out and you gave up your entire draft when you had so many draft picks and you still haven't been able to put a team around that quarterback, that can really define your career.
You got a caller on the line who thinks that might be the way to go, though. Mark in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just think that there were reports with Brian Daboll and links to New England and them bringing him back with Josh McDaniels leaving. And I think with that being the possibility at the time, I think he looks at the situation at quarterback in New England and says, you know, what does Tom have? 2 years left. And, you know, I think Bean and McDermott had to sit down and say, hey, you know, we're all in for our guy. And he hasn't had that anywhere he's gone. And I think that's what just made that sweeter of a deal for him to come to Buffalo. But
I don't understand. Yeah, tell me again what you're saying,
Mark. He was going back to New England.
No, like when they showed interest when the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, McDaniels, was going to go to the Colts.
Right.
There were reports that they had interest in Brian Daboll because of his he was the tight ends coach there.
You mean after he had signed to be the OC here?
No, before that. Like, he was a person of interest for the Patriots is what I'm
okay.
saying.
Oh, okay. I never...
Away from the Patriots
yeah.
that,
yeah.
you know, he said, you were going to go after Darnold or a Rosen at the top of the draft in order to get him away from the Patriots. That's just what my take on it. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, I don't know how to respond because I don't really understand the premise.
Yeah.
Do you?
I was kind of
so
lost.
So he's saying Daboll was going to go after one of the top quarterbacks in the draft for New England?
I think he was saying when Josh McDaniels was going to Indianapolis, the reports were that the Patriots were going to bring Daboll back,
which I didn't really follow that. But whatever, I don't dispute it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But what's that got to do with his quarterbacks?
I don't know.
Mark, you confused
us. Brian Daboll is probably looking at this thing, I want to get my quarterback.
Yeah.
I would like to be able to develop a quarterback, yeah. But he's also smart enough to understand that we can't give up the entire draft to get that quarterback. I mean, they drafted – look, everybody talks about Tom Brady. And, yeah, he's the greatest of all time, in my opinion. The greatest quarterback of all time to ever play this game. This dude was drafted late in the draft.
Sixth round
in the NFL draft. So if you feel like your guy is a guy like Luke Falk or a guy like the kid from Western Kentucky in the second round, Jimmy Garoppolo is a second round guy. I mean, you can find these guys. If you're sitting at 2021, do you want to really bet the farm, like you said, to go up there and get one of these guys that you don't know if he's going to pan out or not?
Here's a call from Ted in Niagara Falls. Go ahead, Ted. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. It's a pleasure to speak to you, and I always listen to you.
Great. Thanks, Ted.
My thought is this year. I've played Tyro football, high school football, and college football. So I'm 66 years old, and I've followed a lot of football.
Okay.
And I've also followed the Buffalo Bills. So what my decision would be here is that a decision that I think Tyrod Taylor is a great investment for $18 million, first of all. You have the man that they thought was enough to draft him in Peterson for next year. You have them two choices. My draft choices are very important, and there's no way that I would ever trade them to move up for a quarterback that's not a proven, not 100% going to be there or going to be any good for your team. So I'm thinking these draft choices I want for a first rounder. I'm looking for I want a big, stout defensive lineman. I need somebody in that middle again. That would be my first choice. And then possibly even if the second and 22 is another big defensive lineman that's stout and you think is good, then I want him. I think on the edge rushing, we're in pretty good shape, I think. We're okay. And if we had a couple big bullies in the middle, that make them edge rushers a little bit better.
Yeah, maybe, Ted. I agree with you. I think the defense would be the way that I would look in free agency and the draft, as a matter of fact. So I agree with you on that. And sure, you can get by with Tyrod Taylor. Donald has made this point, I think, pretty effectively over the last several weeks. It's one thing to say you can get by with Tyrod Taylor, but keep in mind, mid-November last year, they pulled the plug on Tyrod Taylor on a team that was, what, 5-4 at the time? A team that was in the playoffs, like you were one of the six qualifiers at the time. This group pulled the plug on Tyrod Taylor. That says something about how they feel about him.
I think it says a lot about how they feel about him because they had to go back to Tyrod Taylor because Nathan Peterman had that game out there in L.A., but They pulled the plug on their starting quarterback, their captain of their team, a guy that everybody on the team looked up to, that they rallied behind. And the coaching staff pulled the plug on him because they felt like this offense was not able to function. And so you have to think about that moving forward, and I think it's in their minds. I think their decision on Tyrod Taylor was made then. Obviously, they still evaluated everything and how the season ended up and all of that stuff, but that decision was made when they pulled the plug on him, in my opinion.
Hey, we're into quarterback talk, which we always seem to get there, and we'll continue that in a couple of minutes. You may want to weigh in on our Twitter poll, which deals with what you think the Bills' top priority should be in free agency. Most of you think it should be finding a free agent starting quarterback. If that exists out there, then you can weigh in on Twitter or give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Also, we're going to talk about linebackers when we return. We go position by position from now until the combine, and we'll give you our thoughts on what's out there for the Bills, who's on the roster that may or may not be back. All of that coming up when we return. I want to remind you, 2018 Bills season tickets are available right now. You can reserve club seats by going to the website, buffalobills.com/tickets. And the clubs are being renovated this year, so you may want to take a deep look at that. If you want non-club seats, you have to call 877-BB-TICKS is the number to call. You can get season tickets for as low as $33 a game, $330 for the season. Lots of benefits, too. Season tickets available now for the Buffalo Bills. Call 1-877-BB-TICKS. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Jones in our One Buffalo studio. We had a couple of good guests here. One of them talking about free agency. That was Field Yates. One of them talking about the draft. That was Bucky Brooks. And it gave us a lot to chew on here, Donald. We'll chew on it with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Bucky Brooks made the point, which I think is worth considering. In his view, and he's a pretty well-respected draft analyst, none of these quarterbacks are worth overpaying for. Let's put it that way. Somebody's going to get drafted in the top four. Somebody's going to may get drafted number one by Cleveland, as a matter of fact, of these quarterbacks. But from the Bills' perspective, 21 and 22 in the first round, are any of them worth moving up to make a huge move up? Bucky Brooks says no. I'm willing to consider that. People have talked about it. If you'd like to join us and discuss, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or on Twitter. Vinny Piscopio tweets in, solid points about staying put. Don't discount how many holes can be covered up with a franchise quarterback, though. That Patriots team gets blown out last week by Philly without Brady. Yeah, I don't discount that at all. The point is there a true franchise, surefire, no-brainer franchise quarterback in that group? I'm not sure that there is.
No
and
brainer.
I don't know.
Franchise.
Bet the farm. This guy is it. He is the real deal. Is there an Andrew Luck? No. I don't think there is. Is there a Carson Wentz? No. Is there a Jared Goff? No. I don't think there is. Now, I've got
so
more
either.
Work to do looking at these quarterbacks.
No.
But I don't think it, look, dude, the Bills need a quarterback? You bet they do.
Right.
Any of these guys worth drafting at 21 or 22? Absolutely they are. Are they worth making the big move up, giving up all your draft capital to move up? That's the point Bucky Brooks makes, and I'm listening to it and listening hard right now.
It's not fun
to say that, by the way, Donald.
It's not.
People want the big splash on April 26th.
They do want the big splash.
Yeah.
People wanted the big splash last year, and the splash went opposite, and they traded back
down.
17 spots. Yeah.
So got a great corner.
Got a great corner out of it, right? So I think it just, for me, it doesn't make sense to give everything up and to dispute the point that – that guy tweeted you. Yeah, you can look at it and say, don't discount the holes that you can really cover up by having a franchise quarterback. I get that. But there are teams that have drafted guys who they feel like Indianapolis is their franchise quarterback that have not put anything around him. He hasn't been able to cover up anything for that team. And he is, and a lot of people put him already in the top tier, top 10 quarterbacks in the league, and he hasn't really done anything yet, right? So you look at, I think you have to have a very good team. And we know this is a copycat league. We know when you look at a team like the Eagles, who just won the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl MVP quarterback was, I guess, technically their backup quarterback, teams are going to look at that and say, man, do we really want to trade and do all of this stuff to get up the draft board when we really need to build out our roster and make sure our roster is a very good roster so that we have the pieces around this quarterback, whoever that quarterback might be. I think teams will go harder in the free agent market for a quarterback that has already played in this league than in terms of moving up the board, up and down the board, and trying to get one of those guys. I think teams are going to throw some big money at these quarterbacks in the free agent market to get those guys.
Cousins?
Instead, yeah, Cousins.
Who else did you throw big money at?
Somebody's going to throw money at Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
You got to see if Josh McCown, what happens with him.
You don't throw money at
You don't throw money, but you might do a one-year deal with him just because I guess he had a decent season for them, a one-year deal as
you
a bridge quarterback.
Money at Matt Moore, Chase Daniel, Drew Stanton. No.
You would think if A.J. McCarron, if that's a guy that comes
throw a little
free,
money his way.
You might throw some money his way. Teams are going to be throwing everything to try to get Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Their entire draft to try to get Nick Foles instead of trying to move up and down the board to get one of these quarterbacks. I just don't see the teams that are already in the top 10, they're going to be sitting there trying to get those quarterbacks. I think everybody else would just stay put. Or if a guy like Baker Mayfield or one of these guys really starts to slide, you might see them jump up a spot or two or something like that. And I could be wrong, but I just don't see teams moving up 20 spots to try to get one of these guys.
I see. I think Bucky Brooks makes a valid point that we're kind of discussing. You're welcome to join us on the phone lines at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can do it on Twitter. Zachary Al-Sharif makes the opposite point, and he includes the requisite amount of snark. What are you talking about? They might find a guy in later round for quarterback. Ha, ha, ha. There's the snark part. They're going into the draft and thinking, quote, man, I hope we find a guy to play the most important position. You do use your draft capital to get your quarterback. No brainer. I disagree. I think it is a brainer. I think it's worth thinking about. It is a brainer. You think about it. You really is not that they don't need a quarterback. We all know that. Not that you wouldn't like to get one of these guys. I think we all know that. But it's the cost. Do you give up the rest of your draft? Do you give up all those premium draft picks, those top five picks in the first three rounds? Do you give all of them up and maybe even next year's picks? To move up to get who? Rosen? Darnold? I don't know. I think that's a pretty steep cost for guys who have holes in their game. May not be they're not Jared Goff. They're not Carson Wentz. I think it's a brainer. I think you think about it.
I think it's a brainer as well. I think you have to think about it. And I think Brandon Bean said it at the Senior Bowl. That is it's a lot to move up that far up the board to try to get one of these guys. When he said that, it showed everybody that, look, they think about it. They think about, do we want to move up that far? Do we feel that strong about one of these guys? I don't know if they do. Maybe they do. Maybe they feel just as strong about a Luke Falk in the second round, you know, or the kid from Western Kentucky in the second round, or even Mason Rudolph sitting there at number 20, 21. Maybe they feel just as strong about those guys where they don't have to give everything up.
A tweet from Scott Henderson. So then what do you do at quarterback? More retreads, Cousins, and $25 million plus a year? Cousins doesn't intrigue me that much. And I think let somebody else overpay for Kirk Cousins. Let Denver, let New York Jets pay for Kirk Cousins. That doesn't intrigue me. Retreads, I don't know. Probably a veteran along with a draft pick that you get this year and develop them. You know, in the big picture, with the 31st-ranked passing game last year, the Bills managed to squeeze out 9 wins. They could probably get a retread. I wouldn't call them that, but they could probably get a retread quarterback this year and improve their play on defense, add some more players to the roster, and maybe squeeze out 9 wins again.
Yeah.
That wasn't total luck, 9 wins last year. You know, they had some talent on the roster, and Tyrod contributed, but 31st-ranked passing attack, you don't mean to tell me you can get better with a free agent somewhere, a retread in your view, or even a second-year player or a rookie even? I think you could probably get by. Is that the answer long-term? No. Here's the question. This is what people get hung up on. Do you have to have the franchise quarterback question answered this year? Do you?
A lot of people say yes.
A lot of people will say yes because they're tired of it.
Right.
Because it'll be fun on draft day. It'll be fun to invest hope and excitement into one guy. But I just don't know. I maybe my opinion will change between now and draft day. I just don't know that this group, these top four, any of them are the guy that I would want to invest my franchise in.
I said this last week, I think, on one of the shows I was on with Chris Brown. And we always and a lot of fans get hung up on this because obviously the fans have been here, have lived here. They've gone through not having a franchise quarterback what they've really felt comfortable about since really Jim Kelly. This regime, this coaching staff, have not been here for that long.
Right.
They have not lived through all of this time without Jim Kelly. So don't think that they look at this thing the same way as you were just saying, do we have to have that franchise guy this year? Because the fan base is saying, we need to have this. I'm tired of this. The coaching staff is not thinking like that. The coaching staff is thinking about the future of the franchise. When you think about the future of the franchise and building a roster out through the draft, we're not thinking about the past.
Right. And the one thing, obviously, they don't have to think about is that playoff drought, that 17-season playoff drought. They blew that out of the water through fortuitous circumstance and a 9-win season, so that doesn't hang over their head.
And they did it with being 31st in the league in passing with Tyrod Taylor at the helm. So they could look at this thing and say, look, we just got to the playoffs not being able to really move the ball through the air at all, being almost last in passing. We need to truly build out this roster. I look at it like, think about all the position groups on the team. If E.J. Gaines is gone, you're going to need to fill that with a corner. Now, you can get that through free agency. You look at your defensive line. Can you truly say right now, I feel comfortable about this defensive line going into next year? We don't need to draft anybody on the defensive front. No, I think everybody is looking at the defensive line saying, man, you really need to get better. You need to be able to get some pressure. Can you look at the linebacker group and say, man, we feel comfortable about the linebackers that we have for next year? The wide receiver group, we feel truly comfortable about the wide receivers that we have for next year. That, I mean, that's just three groups that I just named where you truly need to add talent for your starters and depth on the back end of this thing. So, I mean, there's so many holes that you need to fill on this team. It's not just the quarterback play.
Let's take a call here from Brad in Rochester. Hello, Brad. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. But I think the fans are looking at it this way. McDermott said last year during the draft when he traded down and a lot of fans were mad because Deshaun Watson and Mahomes were both sitting there at 10, we're going to wait till 2018. So we all assumed.
Did he say that? We're going to wait till 2018? Did he put a date on it?
We didn't put a date on it, but we assumed it's going to be the draft. He didn't like the quarterbacks coming out last year enough to grab one at 10, so he traded down for more picks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
We were assuming the picks are to get the quarterback in 2018. So I know we have the picks and we need other positions, but that's the collateral we thought we were going to use to try to move up the board and get one of these guys. And if these quarterbacks aren't worthy of being picked that high, then why did we wait till 2018 in the first place? Why did we grab Watson or Mahomes last year when they fell into our lap at 10?
Yeah, I mean, the draft doesn't, you know, your record doesn't always fall the way you think it will. They may have won a few more games than they thought they would. May have not had the draft positioning they thought they would. Clearly, on draft day a year ago, and they let the Chiefs move up, take Mahomes. Bills got the Kansas City's first-round pick. Clearly, they thought, hey, maybe next year we get our franchise quarterback. Let's see. I don't know. You could be right.
The other teams are making these moves. I mean, they're all making moves to get these quarterbacks. Why are we not doing it ever?
Well, I don't know what you mean by ever. Who's made the moves and been successful on it? I mean, Chicago, you're saying Trubisky? Are you sold on Trubisky as the answer in Chicago? They made a big move last year, big draft move. Hello, you still there, Brad? I think he's gone.
He hung up on us?
He hung up on us. The hanging up here. How many times? Just kidding.
It's crazy. You start talking about quarterbacks and the phone lines light up.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We were going to talk about linebackers. We want to keep with quarterbacks or linebackers? You know what?
I mean, I don't know what to do now. Do you stay with linebackers? The phone lines are going to go silent if you go to linebackers.
Let's go to
linebackers aren't important.
Let's go to Scott on the line. Where are you from, Scott? Tennessee?
Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee. Thanks for tuning in, Scott.
Hey, I got a couple of comments with quarterbacking. I kind of piggybacking on what that guy was saying. You rarely have this type of ammo.
You're right.
To do whatever you want. So, to me, they could have signed Alex Smith or traded for him or go get Kirk Cousins, and you're probably going to make the playoffs for the next 4 or 5 years. You can almost do it again with, like you were just saying, with Tyrod. It's just in that fringe team, maybe a little better. But I don't think anybody believes, you know, Alex Smith is all of a sudden after 13 years going to be leading a team to a Super Bowl outside of a, you know, Spanish Armada defense or something like that. So you end up with an opportunity to go up and get a guy that, yes, you don't know, but you feel can be the difference maker, can be that, you know, top-notch quarterback, not just kind of a okay guy. And I would rather go after that guy than plug in a guy that, you know, hey, the next 4 years we're probably going to make the playoffs. but it'll be an early exit. We're not going anywhere. Kind of like the Chiefs. I mean, I've got buddies who are Chiefs fans, and they know we're not going anywhere with Alex Smith. So they, and what did they do? They went out last year and made the move to go get a quarterback. Who knows if he's going to be the guy or not, but, you know, looks like he might be or could be, at least they believe it. So why not take, you know, the guy at the top of the list and get down there and let's roll the dice with this guy, because this is the type of thing with the Patriots getting older and kind of dying off, so to speak. And the same with Pittsburgh, their quarterbacks aren't going to be hanging around another 3-4 years. The AFC's wide open. There's really nobody in the West that you're like, boy, they're going to be good. This is a great opportunity. In 2 years, you could just be an absolute, you know, bookend playoff team for 10 years if you can find the guy.
I hear what you're saying, Scott, and you make a pretty strong argument. You do have the ammo, but the ammo is worth things to, you know, shooting at things other than quarterbacks here too, you know, and you forego those other options if you use all that ammo, all of it, most of it, the best ammo on a quarterback. And you better have a, you know, there's a risk there. That's all I'm saying. What's your risk tolerance? You know, are you able to say with certainty that one of these guys, Darnold, one of these guys, Rosen, is worth all that ammo? I don't know. All I'm saying is the Bills are probably in serious consideration thinking, I don't know how strongly we feel about them, but we really want to shoot our whole wad on one of those guys? You're saying they should just roll the dice and do it, Scott?
I would.
Really?
It's the opportunity to separate yourself. It's a bold move. Seems like all the quarterbacks that are the better, you know, the better teams, your Wentz, your Goff, whatever, those guys. I mean, yes, the Redskins go up and take RG, and it's 1 year, and luck, kind of luck into Cousins, if you will. But if you don't swing at, I mean, it's just one of those deals. You're not going to hit it if you don't swing at it, and I'd rather take a swing at it than, you know, go get a defensive tackle and build up everywhere else around it, and then guess what? We're still short at the quarterback. We make the playoffs, and we lose 10-3 to Jacksonville because we can't in the end zone.
Yeah. It's valid arguments, points. Yeah.
And these are all of the things – these are all of the things that they're thinking about, and I'm sure they're thinking about this as well. Like, man, I'm sure when they start to truly evaluate these guys, when we get to the combine, as they evaluate their tape and all of that, they're looking at it saying, this kid is a good prospect, definitely a good prospect. But – there's always going to be a but. Do we want to? And you have to give up from moving from 2021 to the top 10 to get one of these kids. I think people are not really understanding how much you're going to have to give up. Now, it's all on how you negotiate in a relationship and all of that stuff in terms of deals. Every deal is different. But if there is a, most of those teams in the top 10 need a quarterback. So when you call that team and they're sitting there to take one of those guys and they need one, what are you going to give up to really get up there? What are they going to say? Oh, that's not enough. We need a quarterback. What else are you willing to give up? You know what I mean? You're talking about giving away your entire draft to move up to get one guy.
Look, I'm not advocating one position or another. All I'm saying is the point raised by Bucky Brooks is that the Bill, he said conservative. I don't even know if I like that characterization, that the Bill should be conservative in the draft. All I'm saying is it's not, as a caller, as a guy on Twitter said, it's not a no-brainer that you move up and get one of these quarterbacks. It's not. It requires some calculation. It requires some serious scouting about who these premium quarterbacks are and how much you're willing to risk giving up to get them. I think it's that's why we're talking about it. It's worth discussing. Are you really want to sell out your whole draft for Darnold or Rosen? I don't know. I don't know if I would. I'm thinking about it. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Well, you know, Murph, welcome back to the John Murphy Show. You know, Murph sometimes sleeps on my cooking skills. Because I cooked some spaghetti last night.
Go get that. Bring it over. I mean, show the folks on TV.
You want to? I will go get it.
Donald brought in lunch just for him, I might add. But Donald apparently has made some. Now, is that real sauce? Did you make sauce? Or is that bottled jar sauce? What do you got there?
All right, this is jar sauce.
Oh. So you boiled pasta.
No, but you know, you got to put the meat in it. You got to still do certain things to the sauce.
You boiled pasta.
You know, I was. Haters never prosper. I just want everybody to know.
The spaghetti, right? What are you so proud of?
I am proud of myself.
You put pasta and emptied a jar over the top of it.
You know, I went over Murph's house one time, and he made these crab cakes, and he made this. What else do we have?
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
It was like a stir fry type of thing. It's an Asian dish.
Yeah,
you know. Good. And now Murph is like the best cook in the world. I don't know what's going on here.
You know what I made? I made homemade pizza last night.
Did you?
Veggie pizza. It was good. Yeah.
Okay. Is it like margarita pizza? Margarita?
No, just a lot of veggies, peppers and stuff. You know, it was good.
Yeah. We're going to have a cook-off here on the John Murphy Show.
It smells good. What kind of jarred sauce? What do you got? Ragu?
Ragu.
Oh, jeez. There's so
haters
many
never prosper.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying you can do so much better. How do we get to – because you know what? The smell of the pasta now is over here. Donald has brought lunch for himself. Pasta that he made, very proud of, boiling water and throwing noodles in there. We're talking quarterbacks, believe it or not. Speaking of food, how about this one? Zay Jones, Bills rookie wide receiver, back home, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently enjoying some home cooking. Tweeted out a little bit of what he's enjoying down there. And our buddy Lorenzo Alexander, the man with nothing but time on his hands, responded. I got to read Zay's here. It's Tre'Davious. It wasn't Zay. Tre'Davious White. He's in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And his message was to Zay Jones. Tre'Davious White on Twitter. Come on down to Louisiana, Zay. We got that crawfish, boudin, which is sausage, Donald.
Yeah.
Gumbo. You knew that? Gumbo. No, I did. Crawfish, etouffee, best food in the U.S.
Well, so it started off with Zay actually saying best food in Buffalo.
Oh, is that how this started?
Yeah, it started because he tweeted out and said, what's the best food, best place to go in Buffalo to eat?
I got
and then
you.
Tre'Davious responded with, come on down to Louisiana.
And he's right. Crawfish.
And then Zay says, bro, put mama's gumbo down so you can be fast for the Pro Bowl next year. And how's my godson? I didn't know he was actually his goddad.
I wonder if
that's true. I wonder if that's true. But he said, put the food down, put the gumbo down so you can be fast for the Pro Bowl.
I got that all screwed up.
And then Lorenzo chimes in, as he normally does, which we'll probably get a tweet about this. I'm sure he's listening. With Pro Bowl, ? Let's not plan to be in that game.
There you
go. And he's right.
He's the veteran leader.
He is the veteran leader. Let's not plan to be in the Pro Bowl. Let's plan to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a great tweet from Tre'Davious. Got that crawfish.
Does it make you want to go to New Orleans
crawfish,
now?
Etouffee. Yeah. It is the best food in the U.S., not in New Orleans. All right, we just took a break from quarterback talk. Forgive us. We'll get back to it coming up in the next hour. We do want to address the linebacking core. We talked about this yesterday, going through position by position. That'll come up in the third hour as well. Yes, the phone lines are open. All I'm saying, I won't speak for Donald. Well, actually, I better speak for Donald because he's about to mow down some more pasta.
That's right.
All I'm saying is, do you really feel compelled for the Bills to use their draft capital and trade up to get one of those premium quarterbacks? I think it's worth talking about, and we will when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts. We are coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills have a new receivers coach. Terry Robiskie got the job today. He replaces Phil McGagan, who made a move to Los Angeles to work with Anthony Lynn as the receivers coach for the Chargers. Terry Robiskie's been an NFL coach for 36 seasons, 19 of them as a receivers coach, played in the league as a running back, and then has coached receivers for the most part for his 36 seasons in the NFL. Last 2 years with the Tennessee Titans, a long stint with Atlanta before that, and a long stint with the Oakland Raiders as well. Terry Robiskie takes over as the brand new receivers coach for the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City Chiefs say they do not plan to re-sign linebacker Derek Johnson. Johnson lost his playing time this past year to a couple of younger players, Reggie Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Louis. Derek Johnson, 35 years old, Kansas City's first-round draft pick in 2005. He was the longest-tenured Chiefs player, along with punter Dustin Colquitt. Indianapolis Colts new head coach Frank Reich says he's used to being a backup. That's how he handled his NFL playing career. He said that in response to a question about being the backup head coaching candidate at Indianapolis, the Colts' second choice after Josh McDaniels reneged on his agreement. Johnny Manziel, the former Heisman Trophy winner, is going to play in the Developmental Spring League this year. Part of his attempt to return to the National Football League, signed a deal to play in the Elite D League, which runs in Austin, Texas, starting in late March. The Spring League consists of four teams competing in two doubleheaders. Buffalo Sabres hit the road to play at Ottawa tomorrow night. Buffalo got a big game from Ryan O'Reilly last night in a 5-3 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. O'Reilly scored a power play goal and assisted on two others. Ryan O'Reilly was 6 points in two games since it was announced that Jack Eichel is out indefinitely. And hockey from the Olympics, the American team lost to Slovenia today in overtime, a 3-2 stunning loss. Olympic center of Slovenia, captain Jan Mirsak, scored the tying goal late in regulation and the winning goal 38 seconds into overtime. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. We're going to talk about linebackers, but we've got kind of, because of Bucky Brooks' comments about the quarterbacks, Bucky Brooks from NFL.com, he doesn't have any insight into this, but in terms of inside information, but I do think his opinion is worth mentioning, Donald. When Bucky Brooks says he believes the Bills will be conservative, he believes the Bills, when it comes to finding a quarterback in the draft, will probably put character, I guess is the best way to put it, maybe ahead of some of the playing mm-hmm. characteristics. And he's not sure, aside from the Bills, he's not sure that any of the top-tier quarterbacks in this year's draft merit, being in the top 10. And why would the Bills make a move up there, he would think, if they might not be that good, talking about Rosen and Darnold and maybe Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. Just kind of food for thought. That's what got us going today in the quarterback talk.
I think that they need to bring another quarterback in here. I got this tweet in from North Dallas 18, Dwayne Smith. And it says, he's saying that we are overlooking the fact that we do have a young quarterback still on the roster who has barely played. And he's saying, I'm not sure that the front office has actually given up on him. Yeah, he went in. Nate Peterman, we're talking about. He went in, he had the bad game. But have they truly given up on him? Do they feel like he could be a franchise quarterback moving forward?
I think, yeah. I mean, they had a conviction on him to draft him, obviously, in a mid-round last year, right? Fifth round?
Mm-hmm.
Mid to late round last year. So that's enough of a conviction. And certainly, I think they liked what they saw in preseason from Nathan Peterman and in the offseason workouts. They liked him enough so that they made the decision in November to let him start a game for a team that was 5-4 and in the playoff hunt. We know how that worked out, but I don't think they've given up on Nathan Peterman at all. I think he'll get a long look at the quarterback spot here as a starter or even a quality backup. So, what do you think?
I would think, to be honest with you, we could be, unless they do trade up to get one of these guys, if Tyrod Taylor is not here, and I hate going into seasons. I hate when any team goes into a season with, a quarterback controversy or a quarterback competition going on there, but we could be going into this season with the true quarterback competition with Nate Peterman, whoever they end up drafting, if they bring somebody in through free agency, and Nate Peterman could go in there and win that thing, and he could be your day one starter because he won it in the summertime. He wins it in the summertime. I don't think they've given up on Nathan Peterman. I think they truly liked what he did all year for them in practice. And they liked it enough, or what he did in the preseason, they liked it enough for them to pull their captain, their starting quarterback, for a team that was still in the playoff hunt against a team that had a very good defense, a team that had a very good defensive line. They had enough conviction to put Nathan Peterman in there. It didn't work out for various reasons, and all of those interceptions that he had that day weren't just on Nathan Peterman.
Right.
But then they put him back in. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor was hurt. He had to go back in, and he had, a decent game, and then he got hurt, right? So he's really had a lot of things go against him.
Yeah.
And I think that they still feel like, look, we might be able to get something out of Nathan Peterman, and he might have a true competition once we get to camp.
I don't think the book is closed on Nathan Peterman at all. We're into quarterbacks now, deep quarterback talk. A couple of tweets on this. A guy named Sal tweets in, "Hi, John and Don. Love the show and enjoy the new hilarious segment on Donald's pasta cooking skills." We're going to do that every day? What do you mean?
Should.
That's a new segment?
We tried to do something with Leonard Johnson, but I guess we couldn't get it in his contract.
We need if we're going to do a cooking segment, we need the overhead camera. We need a stove back here and an overhead camera to show stuff cooking. We can do this.
We can.
And I'd be up for it. But in the meantime, you just keep heating up.
I ate it already.
Throwing the jar.
It's already gone. That's how good it was.
I bet it's good.
We get 4 minutes in a break, and I ate it in 4 minutes. That's how good it was.
Here's a tweet, not on pasta. Rob Rowland, no disrespect to you guys. Here it comes. But have you been paying attention to this team for the last 20 years? I have, as a matter of fact, almost 35. He goes, excuse me. He says, look what Philadelphia gave up only 2 years ago, and look at them now. I would give up all of this year's draft and next year's draft to get that quarterback. That quarterback, I would too. Well, maybe not all of this year's and next year's draft, But I'd give up a lot to get Carson Wentz. I'm telling you, I don't think Carson Wentz is in this draft. Anything like Carson Wentz is in this draft. I really don't. I don't think Jared Goff is in this draft.
No.
And I'll do more study on these guys. And obviously there's a certain amount to like about these guys, Rosen and Darnold especially. But I wouldn't give up. We're talking about cost here. I don't know how much I would pay draft capital to move up to get either of those two guys. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, let's look at it this way. You look at the first guy and Sam Darnold. This dude throws a lot of interceptions. I've watched multiple games where he threw multiple interceptions, and that is a big question mark for these teams. No GM wants to draft a guy and make them the franchise quarterback if you're going to turn the ball over. I mean, that's just a big thing. You can't turn the ball over. It loses you games if you're a guy that will turn the ball over on a consistent basis. You look at Rosen. Now, Rosen is a kid that, yeah, he drops dimes. He played out there. We had Chris Brown on. He didn't have any talent on that team whatsoever, and he still was making plays for them. But his question, he was running for his life. Yeah. The biggest question mark with him is, does he really like to play the game? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trading my entire draft up to go get a guy that has a question mark if he likes to play football or not. I mean, I don't know where that rumor came from, but it's come from somewhere, probably from somewhere at UCLA. I'm not giving everything up for a guy. We don't even know if he wants to play this game for the next 10, 15 years and be a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. So, no, I'm okay on that one as well. I mean, I just don't – I'm not sold enough on these guys to feel like, man, you need to give everything up to get that guy. Carson Wentz was a guy, his biggest question mark was he was coming from 1AA. But he had the tools, he had the arm strength, he even had the mobility. That was the biggest question mark. And he's proved – that, and this dude was playing at an MVP level. And he even started off the first year, and he started off the first year playing at that level. Then he kind of sizzled off a little bit. But I remember talking to Frank Reich last season, and him saying, man, we got a lot in this kid. We feel very strong about this kid. They felt that strong about him, and there weren't many arguments against Carson Wentz. You saw him down at the Senior Bowl. Jared Goff, a lot of people felt strong about Jared Goff being the number one pick. These guys, I mean, a couple weeks ago, they had Josh Allen as the number one pick in terms of all of the draft experts. Josh Allen as the number one pick. He goes into the Senior Bowl. Right, exactly. Yeah. He goes into the Senior Bowl and does not have a good game. Or he comes back in and has a better, second half or something like that. Now you got him as, the fifth quarterback. So that means you're not sold on these guys like that.
We're going to get to your phone calls in a moment, talk more about this quarterback issue. We are going to deal with linebackers. We know everybody's waiting breathlessly for that. Bills news today, Terry, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, Terry Robiskie hired as the brand new receivers coach for the Buffalo Bills, replaces Phil McGangan, who after 1 year with the Bills moved on to the Los Angeles Chargers. And three new staff additions announced by the Buffalo Bills today. They have a new head athletic trainer. Nate Bresky is now the new head athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. Spent the last three seasons as the head trainer for the Chicago Bears. Graduate of Nebraska, native of South Dakota, going into his 11th season in the NFL, 3 years in Chicago, first 7 years with the San Francisco 49ers. Bills have a new director of analytics and application development. His name is Luis Guillermo, who most recently worked for the IT consulting firm Tech Partners, consulted for the Bills and several other affiliates in several years, including baseball teams, Miami Marlins, businesses, Office Depot, graduate of Illinois. Guillermo was born in Dominican Republic, raised in Chicago. Luis Guillermo is the Bills' new director of analytics and application development. And Jeff Muller is the Bills' brand new video director going into his 21st season in the NFL. Spent the first 20 seasons in the league with Carolina Panthers in their video department. Native of Albany, graduate of the University of Massachusetts. So a big day for the Bills staff. A new video director, Jeff Muller. A new director of analytics, Luis Guillermo. And a new head athletic trainer, Nate Bresky, along with the receivers coach, Terry Robiskie. All of those announcements coming moments ago by the Buffalo Bills.
A lot going on here at One Bills
Drive. A lot going on under the surface because it seems quiet, doesn't it, when you're here?
It does seem. It's very quiet.
Yeah. Phone lines aren't quiet. Let's get to your calls. People have thoughts on draft picks, quarterbacks, et cetera. We'll go to Ted in Niagara Falls. Hello, Ted. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was on the show about an hour ago, and I got cut off, so I've been waiting ever since.
Oh, I probably cut you off, Ted. What was your other point?
Well, what I was talking about is that I didn't think we should give up the draft choices because
he hung up on you.
I think Tyra Taylor is capable of playing, and you have a gentleman in Peterson that apparently these coaching people have decided to like him because we chose him.
Now, we heard those thoughts before, though, Ted, right?
Yeah,
because I got cut off. But what I was saying is this here, is that, you know, first of all, Tyrod Taylor, to his benefit here, you had a offensive coordinator's first year that, what is he, got fired after the first 2 weeks or something, before the season started. So that was one offensive coordinator. Then you had another offensive coordinator last year. Well, I think the offensive coordinators are just as important as the people that we draft, because those offensive coordinators, they better know their job, and they better know that Tyrod Taylor should be playing in this type of a situation instead of playing into my situation that he can't.
Okay, now I'm going to cut you off, Ted. Thank you. Donald, do you have any thoughts on that?
He's played under, what, four offensive coordinators?
Yeah.
One his first year, and then another one his second year, which was fired after the first season. Right, four offensive coordinators with Tyrod Taylor, I believe.
Yeah.
His first year with Sammy Watkins when they went off. Who was the offensive coordinator then?
Well, that was
was that Greg?
Greg Roman, Greg, yeah. Roman?
Oh, okay, so three
Roman,
offensive coordinators. Anthony Lynn.
Lynn.
And then past year. I got to sneeze, but it won't come.
So he's had three.
He'll have four if he comes back. He's had, obviously, the question marks at the wide receiver position with so many different injuries. But ultimately, I think we know what Tyrod Taylor is. You said this yesterday. We've been saying this. We know what Tyrod Taylor is, who he is. Can you win with Tyrod Taylor? Yes, if you put a very good team around Tyrod Taylor and you have those weapons. Ultimately, I just think they want to get better in the passing game and still stay as good in the running game, you know. So I just think that they will look very hard at free agency and the draft to try to add some talent there.
Let's take a call here from Bruce in Amherst. Hello, Bruce. Welcome. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, John. Hello, Donald. Great show, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Bruce.
About the quarterback situation, that's all everybody's talking about these days, and to be expected. I was talking to a friend of mine today about it, and he mentioned about, I don't know if you guys agree with this, bringing Fitz back as our bridge quarterback. And I would not, I repeat, like you said, John, you alluded to, not to go up to, say, three trade partner with the Colts or perhaps four with the Browns. I wouldn't give up them assets. I'll tell you what I would do. 21, I would try to get a stud defensive tackle, whether Williams is going to stay or not, regardless. And at 22, I get a stud linebacker defensive end. As the old saying goes, defenses win championships and offense gets the headlines. And, yeah, pasta, Donald, I love it. It's my favorite dish of my sister's. So, yeah, that's it. I would get a quarterback if one fell down us, otherwise they wait to the second or third round. And I don't know if I'd spend a ton of money for, even though I like Kirk Cousins or, say, Sam Bradford. $25, $30 million is a lot when you could use it in other ways to plug up the holes, man. We got a lot of holes to fill, and that's it.
Yeah, we definitely got a lot of holes to fill. And I'm interested to talk to our buddy Mike Jannetty.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow from SpotTrack about this team's where they are right now, you know, in terms of cap space. Because when you talk about, and I think it was either Steve or Chris Brown, and they talked about you pay one of these big quarterbacks, it will handicap your salary cap because now you can't add as much talent across the board in terms of free agency. Now, in the draft, you have your draft picks, and that's already allotted in terms of guys that are going to be on your team. But if you go ahead and spend $25, $27 million, which is where Kirk Cousins is going to end up, $27 million a year, I don't even know how much space they have right now. You can look it up, but I know we're going to talk to Mike Jannetty about it tomorrow. But if you go ahead and spend that type of money, you're not going to be able to spend it in other places. You're not going to be able to get certain free agents in here on your defensive line or as a wide receiver or any of those guys. You're going to have to wait until day three to find those guys because you just broke the bank to get one of these quarterbacks. And I know people are going to say, well, you got your quarterback. Well, you have nothing else at this point because you paid your quarterback.
Yeah. Here's a call from Rochester. Trent calling from Rochester. Go ahead, Trent. You're on the air with us.
Guys, Donald made a great point earlier. I believe it was either last week or about Tyrod Taylor. He leaves too many makeable plays on the field, and they're left unmade. I named him Captain Conservative. So when we're talking about Taylor, I know you all mentioned him being benched before. He deserves to be benched because he's so conservative. But moving forward, I know Steve Tasker disagrees with me, but I feel like Nick Foles is better than any quarterback in the draft. You'd have to give up less for him. He doesn't believe Philly's going to trade him, and therefore the dichotomy with what his trade value is as Super Bowl MVP versus his value to the Eagles. So for me, guys, it's Nick Foles and Lamar Jackson. I know you like him as a wide receiver, Donald, but if that turns out to be the case, he'll just be another weapon for Foles. So that's my take. I just want the Bills to be aggressive. I don't want them to sell the farm to get a quarterback in the draft because, like you guys, I do not trust them.
Yeah, I mean, look here. I'm thank you, Trent. I'm on the Nick Foles bandwagon. Now,
for here?
For here.
What makes you think he's going to get loose?
And, well, I was going to get into that point.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm on the Nick Foles bandwagon.
Let me go heat up some pasta.
Because, yeah, definitely. And I want to know what type of sauce you use. I'm on the Nick Foles bandwagon because he still has a year left, right? So if you have to trade to get Nick Foles, he still has a year left where he's going to make $7 million. And he can prove it to you. If he can take you through a season and play like he played in the Super Bowl and in the playoffs, then you can go ahead and pay Nick Foles for the next 5 years or whatever to be your franchise quarterback for there and beyond maybe. But because he has still 1 year left, that's a true, for me, bridge type of quarterback. And he can prove it to you under a $7 million contract. So trade for him. Now, I don't know how much you would have to trade for him. And that's where you get really dicey because teams are going to be throwing everything to try to get Nick Foles. And now you're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles who have Carson Wentz who got hurt in December, I believe.
Yeah.
Early December. He got
13,
hurt. Yeah. So Carson Wentz might not even be ready for the beginning of the season.
Right.
If he's not ready for the beginning of the season, you're the Philadelphia Eagles. Why would you part ways with Nick Foles?
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't see them giving him up unless a team just throws something crazy at them where they're like, all right, we can't turn that down, you know. But I just don't see them giving that up because they have a quarterback that helped them win a Super Bowl, won Super Bowl MVP. And if your starter's not ready to go for the first few weeks of the season – then, yeah, you need to have that guy in there where the rest of the team feels comfortable with Nick Foles as their quarterback. I see him getting traded maybe halfway through next season.
Didn't the Eagles just do this with Sam Bradford, by the way?
Yes.
Cash in, get a lot, way too much for their backup quarterback. I mean, can they pull it off again? I guess so.
When you win Super Bowl MVP, you can definitely pull it in. I mean, you can pull it off.
Terry calling from Attica. Hello, Terry. Welcome.
How you doing there, John?
Great.
I agree with you guys. Keep our draft picks. If one of those quarterbacks should fall down to us in the late first, pick them up. If not, grab a quarterback in the second or third round. But don't give up all of our draft picks for an unproven quarterback. That's all I got to say. I love listening to you guys.
Thanks, Terry. We love hearing from you, too. If you do that, I'm not saying they should. I'm entertaining that possibility today. If you do that, let the draft fall, use your picks, maybe get a quarterback in the second round. You're going to have to get somebody in free agency, you would think, or, and I think this is unlikely, or you're going to have to keep Tyrod around.
Right. I think it's unlikely,
but
it is a
possibility.
It's not off the table. It's not off the table because you have to look around and say, all right, you got the top quarterbacks that will be free agents, which would be Kirk Cousins. You would think Sam Bradford will probably end up on the market, as I think they're going to keep Case Keenum. I don't know what's going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater. That's still yet to be seen, but I don't think he would be a top guy. So when you look at the rest of them, the rest of the quarterbacks on the free agent market, there aren't names that you could say, man, this guy could be a franchise quarterback for us. You know, so, and they're not names that you could say, well, he's this much better than Tyrod Taylor. And I think that's what you have to look at. Is this guy better than Tyrod Taylor?
Right.
I mean, that's the answer right there. Is that guy better than Tyrod Taylor? And you might say, yeah, he can throw the ball. You're going to be better than 31st. How much worse can you get? that could be a good argument, a good dispute to what I'm saying right now. But that's what they have to think about. Is this guy who we're looking at right now, is he better than Tyrod Taylor? Can he make us better, a better offense, a better team? And can he get us better in the passing game?
One more call on this before we shift gears. We'll go to Jay in Buffalo. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good. The only question, the only thing I was going to have to say is that I think it's just real bad that everybody think that Lamar Jackson would be a wide receiver in the NFL. I've been for a while that he's been in college. I've been watching a lot of his games because I really liked him, and I always thought he was a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. Hmm. Teddy Bridgewater had more talent, a really good running game, and a really good offense. Lamar just. Jackson is always freaking running for his life every time. That's why I say I like Lamar Jackson, but also everybody say that we should give up the draft and everything of that nature. But when these teams, when these teams gave up a lot for their quarterback, they all had really good defenses. St. Louis had a great defense. Had a great defensive line and all of that in that nature. Philly had a really good defense. Everybody had building blocks before they gave up a lot for a quarterback, because it's not your quarterback. It don't matter who you bring in here if your wide receivers ain't getting open.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. You're right. That's part of it. I think the evaluate. You know, we've talked about this. You have to evaluate the quarterback, whether it's Tyrod or whoever. You know, with that in mind, receivers had trouble getting open. There wasn't a lot of separation. I saw some metric the other day about that, and it was real. It was real. I mean, they didn't have a good, strong receiving core this year, and they had trouble getting open. But Tyrod has a role to play in that 31st ranked offense, passing offense.
He does.
This year. A big
have a role to play.
I mean, he's the trigger man. He's the guy who makes it go.
I mean, like I said last week, he just leaves too many plays on the field, and plays that he can make, he might be a little bit reluctant to make. And that's just, we know what Tyrod Taylor is. I understand with all of the wide receivers, not getting open, so many guys hurt and all of that stuff. But ultimately, look, as a quarterback, it's your job to make the throws, give those guys an opportunity. And it's not what he's been able to do for the last couple of years. So I think it's time to go ahead and try to find someone else to be your guy moving forward. When you look at the draft, I think can you say that any of these guys, because here's the thing, if you're trading all of that draft capital away to get one of these guys, and I want everybody out there to truly think about this, can you say this guy's a day one starter? Because if you're trading all the way up from 20 to 21 to get to the top 10, he better be the starter day one. No questions. This dude is your starter day one. You just traded everything away for this guy because you feel like he could be your franchise quarterback. Well, he better be the franchise quarterback, the day one starter, no questions asked. And I don't know if you can say that about any of these guys. He's the day one starter, doesn't need to be developed or any of that stuff.
That's always tough. I hate those situations when you're boxed into having your first-round quarterback start day one. I cringe, you know. I mean, it's just tough. Jared Goff struggled badly.
Badly. He's a good quarterback. Everybody thought he was a bust. And then he got into the right system in his second year, and they brought some more pieces around him, and Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, and he had the good running back. And then he became what he became this year. And you got to see if he can sustain that as well. I mean, he's had one good year. Got to see if he can sustain that. But you're talking about if you're trading up that far from 2021 to top 10 to get one of these guys, that guy has to be your guy. He has to be the day one starter. Not even a bridge quarterback is going to come in and start over. Shouldn't come in and start over him.
Million opinions on quarterbacks. We'll talk more about that. But we do want to continue our breakdown of the Bills roster, the different roster units. And coming up next, we'll talk about linebackers, who they have, who's coming back, who they need, what might be out there for them. That's coming up, including more quarterback talk when we return. The John Murphy Show coming to you from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to One Bills Drive. 30 minutes left in the show. Can you believe that, Donald? This day's gone quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel good.
I feel good, too, for being sick.
It sucks. It really does.
I've had a cold for a week and a half, and it doesn't seem to be going
mine
anywhere.
Mine doesn't last that long.
Huh?
That is terrible.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't seem to be going away. Hey, I feel like we've started a fire and now we're walking away from it, but we are going to do this. We're going to talk about a different position group every day. We did defensive backs yesterday. Essentially, what we're doing is looking at what the Bills have, what the situation is with the roster and the cap, and what they have to do moving forward. We did defensive backs yesterday. We'll do defensive line tomorrow. Today, linebackers. It's a lot simpler, it seems to me, the linebacker picture, Donald, than what we talked about yesterday with the defensive backs and the decisions you'll have to make. Yesterday, we focused on E.J. Gaines and Leonard Johnson and a little bit of the other, Sharice Wright, a couple of the safeties. Linebackers, you've got Preston Brown. You know, I'm not going to call it the elephant in the room, but it's a big decision to make.
Yeah,
what do you do with Preston Brown? You know, he's third-round pick in 2014, led the league in tackles last year, 144. Had a good year, I think, right? You'd have to say Preston had a pretty good year.
I think so. And he cut down on his weight. He stopped eating those snacks at practice.
Yeah.
And he had a very good year. He was the leader of that defense, got guys in the right position. I think he's a guy that they all – and we always talk about Kyle and Lorenzo being the leaders of that defense. And Preston probably looks up to those guys for a lot of different things on and off the field. But ultimately, they're all listening to Preston Brown. Tell them this is the call. This is where we all need to be. And so when you're that guy and you've shown that you can play in multiple defenses – I think you're valuable. It's not just the tackles and being the league leader in tackles. That's something that his agent is going to use. It's the fact that something else that his agent is going to use, his agent and his mom, is the fact that I can play in multiple defenses. You know, so you need me, basically. I can play in multiple defenses. I can be the guy going sideline to sideline. We saw him flying sideline to sideline this year. It's not like he's slow. He hasn't been regarded as a fast, fast linebacker, but he gets the job done.
He does. You wonder about fit, I think, with this
defense.
That's
a big thing.
And you know, in the back of Sean McDermott's mind, he wants Luke Kuechly. He wants Luke Kuechly Jr. You'd be hard-pressed to say Preston Brown is Luke Kuechly Jr. And it goes to what you said about sideline to sideline. I don't think Preston is that's not his forte.
It's not his forte.
He's a thumper, a little bit of a thumper. I think he's smart. And as you pointed out, he's worked through a number of different defenses now. But you just wonder if maybe there's somebody else out there that Sean McDermott might rather have as his key guy in there. And believe me, I'm a Preston Brown fan. I love what he did. I love how he's adapted to all these different defenses. I love, his production. You can't argue with his production. But I wonder if he is the right guy in the coach's mind to play the role that they've got him playing.
See,
am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. And you talk about Luke Kuechly, a guy who does go sideline to sideline. That dude, very smart. But Preston is very smart, too. And you really be looking at it in terms of skill and speed. Because I think Preston Brown is on his way in terms of smarts to being a Luke Kuechly. That dude really studies the game. You know his father, coach, and all of that stuff. He's learned a lot from his dad. But I think Preston Brown does get the job done for you. It really is going to come down to what teams are offering, you know, because if Preston Brown is truly not the fit for our defense, but he gets the job done for us, are you going to – if another team is offering this – are you going to match that offer possibly to bring him back? Because he gets the job done for us. I love Preston Brown. He gets the job done for us, but he's not the exact fit, the exact type of linebacker that I want. So this team is offering him $6 million a year. I don't know if I want to get into $6 million a year, especially if I don't truly, truly love Preston Brown. I'm just talking like Coach McDermott would be talking. You know, he's a big question mark. He is a big question mark because if you don't have him in the middle of your defense, you're talking – now, what? Are you going to draft one? Are you going to bring somebody else? There aren't too many names out there on the free agent market that you could say, man, that dude can come in and be your surefire middle linebacker for the next few years. You would be looking at having to draft one and probably having to draft one early in the draft, you know, so that you know you have a true linebacker that can come in here and play right away. I mean, that's a tough decision. And I said it yesterday. I mean, do you put more stock into Preston Brown or E.J. Gaines? E.J. Gaines had a good year. Preston Brown had a good year. I don't think you can pay both of them. Which one is more important to this defense?
Yeah. Preston Brown, who obviously coming off his rookie contract is in line for a big raise. Who are his comparables? Well, I mean, Kuechly, for example, if you want Luke Kuechly, he's making $12 million a year. Preston's not going to do that. Navarro Bowman making $9 million a year. Kirksey at Cleveland making $9.5 million a year.
Preston is looking somewhere. I mean, obviously depends on how many teams really are coming at him, but I think he's looking at somewhere between 7 and 9.
Are the Bills willing to pay that? I think that's going to be interesting to follow. He appears to be, from our outside vantage point, appears to be a key cog in what they do defensively. But there's just – in the back of my mind, I just keep thinking that maybe they feel like there's a better fit out there as far as, you know, linebackers that they would want. All right, here's another name that comes up. And he's the only other really of consequence, the only other free agent linebacker on the Buffalo Bills roster, and that is Ramon Humber, who had a little trouble staying on the field, and then when he was healthy, lost his job to Matt Milano. Valuable, valuable special teamer, obviously. Ramon Humber is scheduled to hit the free agency this year. Where do they rank him? I mean, they picked him up as sort of a guy, right? Or no, has he been around 2 years?
He was already around. Yeah, he was here last year.
The previous regime, that's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, he was a special teams guy. Because you remember going into the offseason, when Coach McDermott got here, it was like, man, you're going to have to find an outside linebacker, a weak side linebacker, and they put him in there.
Yeah.
And he really didn't look back until Matt Milano started to really shine. But I think Ramon Humber is a valuable special teams guy for you, and you're talking about probably a special teams contract. You're not going to pay him outside linebacker type of money. I think they would want really an upgrade at the outside linebacker position. I think they feel confident enough in Matt Milano and what he did. He's going to be coming back healthy. On the other side, I think they will want to upgrade at that position. And if Preston's not going to be here, you need to upgrade at the middle linebacker position. So I think Ramon Humber, you're looking at offering him a special teams contract, which is somewhere 1.5, something like that, $2 million a year.
The rest of the linebacking crew, you know, guys in their second year, we mentioned Milano, who started at the end of the year, Tanner Vallejo, who played a little bit, a lot of special teams work for him, and Deion Lacey, the other linebacker on the roster at the end of the year. So not a whole lot of questions here. You would think they would want to upgrade, though, right? I mean, think they, you know, I think that front seven overall, and we'll get to D linemen tomorrow.
Needs an upgrade.
They need an upgrade. And are going to be some, well, let's look at inside linebackers, the top free agent inside linebackers out there. We mentioned Navarro Bowman from the Raiders. Navarro Bowman made a ton of money last year, $9.5 million. Derek Johnson comes free, let go today, or at least told that he will not be offered a contract by the Kansas City Chiefs. 35 years old. I don't know that, you know, I would spend a ton of money on Derek Johnson.
He's older.
His experience would count for something, I'm sure, but I don't know if I would dive right in for Derek Johnson at inside linebacker. You know who I've always liked since he came out of the draft was Kevin Minter, who spent last year with the Bengals, Cincinnati Bengals. Kevin Minter, 27 years of age, $4.2 million last year, going to be an unrestricted free agent. He'd be somebody I'd be intrigued with. Demario Davis of the Jets, going to be a free agent, 29 years old, doesn't interest me that much. John Bostic of the Colts. Yeah. I don't know. Any of these names intrigue you as far as inside linebackers?
I know all of the names. Navarro Bowman has been a good one in the past. He's had some troubles. As we all know, Derek Johnson is a guy who, as we were just showing the viewers on the MSG side, this dude, I remember that hit, too, in the Kansas City-Tennessee game in the playoffs. He put on Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
He laid him out. Kevin Minter has been a good player for the Bengals. And this might be a position, because they do truly need an upgrade. And I think they're going to draft one. But as we talk about the quarterback and needing a bridge player, this might be the position where you bring in one of these veterans as a bridge player type of thing, where you don't have to pay these guys top dollar, and you draft one with the hopes that that guy can really develop the draft pick throughout the course of the year.
Outside linebackers, who might come available? Well, Nigel Bradham is scheduled to hit the free agency. Obviously, if the Eagles let him hit free agency, he's going to get a lot of money.
He's going to get paid.
Yeah, Nigel Bradham made $3.5 million last year for Philadelphia. Of course, the former Bills draft pick who, out of FSU, I always thought was a quality player and demonstrated it again. D Ford, I don't know if that's a fit. To me, D Ford is he's more of a defensive end type, right? He's an edge guy. I don't know if I'd even consider him. I guess he's an outside linebacker. Junior Gallet, I find intriguing. I'm surprised to see that Junior Gallet is only 29 years old, had great years early on with New Orleans, finishing up with Washington now, didn't make a ton of money last year. And Barcavius Mingo, former, I believe, first-round pick, right, of the Colts. Barcavius Mingo scheduled to hit free agency, earning $2 million last year. He's only 27. These guys are role-type players. And, you know, when we talk about the Bills, when we talk about the Bills outside linebackers, edge people, there's a guy who, you know, is a former first-round pick who I would not write off. I mean, Barcavius Mingo, to me, you know, you've already got help me out here, the draft pick 2 years ago, first rounder.
For here?
Yeah.
Draft pick 2 years ago, first rounder.
Shaq Lawson. Thank you. Okay. Aren't they the same type of player? So I see the Bills needing linebacker help. Almost, I don't like that group of free agents. I almost like the inside linebackers better. But they probably are going to sign some linebackers here, and maybe guys that are not on our list, guys we haven't heard of yet.
I would think I think they're going to look at that, and they're going to want to upgrade with speed. But I don't see them breaking the bank, splash type of signings to bring in here as linebackers. Look, we know their philosophy is building through the draft. So that means you're going to sign some guys that you don't have to on day two of free agency, day three of free agency, that can come in here and you could really count on him. He knows where he's going to be, all of that stuff. He still has some juice left in the tank, some speed to make plays. Then you're going to draft one and hope that that kid can really develop. Now, you talked about D4. D4 is a – Kansas City played a 3-4. You know, he's an outside – he's a 3-4 outside linebacker to me. I don't think he's a 4-3 outside linebacker. It's a little different there. Barcavius Mingo, yeah, he is kind of the same as Shaq. So I don't know if any of the names on that list really
interest me. Mingo, by the way, drafted first by the Browns, not the Colts. So that's our overview of the linebackers. Tomorrow, defensive line, that'll get interesting as well with some interesting decisions to make. In the meantime, a couple more phone calls. Let's go to Gary on his cell phone. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great. Thank you, Gary.
Hey, I'd like to re-sign Preston. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good player.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody out there in the free agency excites me that much. He's young. What is he, like 25, 26?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to re-sign him, too.
Yeah, I mean, the right money, obviously. I think they make an effort because we can't fill every position in the draft in the, you know, the second year of, you know, McDormand being there. So, I mean, obviously, defensive line is more a priority, in my opinion, than middle linebacker. I'd like to see us get, you know, quarterback and defensive lineman before linebacker. So, let's re-sign Preston for like a 2-3 year deal, and then we can address that later. And then keep the draft picks and get the defensive lineman, which we really need. That's how I look at it, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think you're making some sense there. I really do, Gary. You know, part of this is, and as you mentioned, Preston has an agent, has a mother who gets involved in his representation. I haven't talked to Preston about what his expectations are. You think he goes into this looking to break the bank? I mean, is he you didn't even think about it.
I think so.
You do?
Yeah, because he's going to look at it. Last year, he was high in the league in tackles. We know Zach led the league in tackles last year, I believe. Or Zach Brown was high.
Two years ago.
Now, but Preston was still high up there. He still made a lot of tackles. This year, he made a lot of tackles. And he also lost weight, and he was going – I remember early in the year, he was going sideline to sideline. And we were like, man, he's looking fast out there. So I think a team is going to bring him in. He's going into this thing thinking – yeah, I want to break the bank. I want to get paid. I want to be the guy that you feel like can be your middle linebacker for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And so, yeah, I think he's trying to get paid.
So you're going to have to pay him if they want to keep him.
They're going to have to. I don't know what his market will – what his value will be. And we'll see once the market opens up. And sometimes there are guys who you feel like, man, that dude is going to get paid. And then they slip through day one and they end up in day two or day three or something like that. Or they end up getting paid later in the week, which will end up being less money than we expected it to be, you know. And I think the Bills are in position where they're probably going to sit and wait unless they sign him up before free agency hits. Once free agency hits, you got to sit and wait and see where the market plays out at that point.
And I was thinking a year ago at this time, as we approach free agency, Zach Brown coming off the big year for the Bills, production year with tackles. I mean, we all were thinking, they got to have Zach Brown, and he's going to break the bank. And he didn't. He waited a long time.
Before Washington. Before Washington signed him to a basically almost a minimum deal.
Yeah.
So you never know what's going to happen with these.
Yeah, I mean, we look at numbers, production, et cetera. Scouts, talent evaluators look at players, how they play, look at the film. right, we're going to take a break. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? It is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Field Yates on from ESPN. We are a month away from the start of free agency. We let Field Yates set the table a little bit, talking about what he would do for each team in the NFL, the post he put up on NFL or ESPN.com. Field Yates said if he were running the Buffalo Bills, his free agent move, his primary free agent move, would be to get E.J. Gaines under contract. Here's what he had to say.
I think that E.J. Gaines has quickly immersed himself into that Buffalo culture. And, you know, how many times, and you guys probably know better than I, did Sean McDermott use the word process this year?
Yeah.
And part of the process is building a culture. And it sure seems like E.J. Gaines fits into both the process and fits culturally within the Buffalo Bills, how they want to go about business and what kind of players they want. And for that reason, I think he's a guy that should really be a top priority for them this offseason.
Field Yates on E.J. Gaines says that's Buffalo should be Buffalo's top priority in free agency. We just got done talking about Preston Brown maybe being in that conversation as well. Also on the show today, Bucky Brooks, former Bills wide receiver, NFL analyst, draft expert on NFL.com. He talked about the draft, and he talked about the premium quarterbacks available in the first round, and whether the Bills should make that big move, pull the trigger, and send away some of that draft capital to move up and get one of those top quarterbacks. Here's what Bucky Brooks said.
I like the quarterbacks in the class. I can't say that I absolutely love them to the point where I see any of those guys being worthy of moving all the way up to get them. I think the Buffalo Bills need to just kind of play it safe and conservative. When you're sitting there with two first-round picks back-to-back, you can get two really, really good players that can be starters at two key positions. You then have additional picks in the second and third round that can help you fortify it. So, yes, you want to address the quarterback position, but I think you need to be careful mortgaging the farm for a quarterback that we're not necessarily convinced can be a franchise quarterback.
Bucky Brooks from NFL.com. Nobody, no fans like to hear Bucky Brooks or anybody suggest the Bills should play it safe and conservative. What fun is that, Donald?
It's not fun.
You want to win draft day. You want the big splash on draft day. You want to be the team everybody's talking about on ESPN the next day. Might be the smart move. Might be. And plus, given the track record of Bean and McDermott, safe and conservative, we haven't seen that yet from them, which is not to say they won't do that, but we really haven't seen them be safe or conservative yet, I don't think.
You know, what I said was you might end up, and this could happen, they could trade the 20th pick back and pick up more picks. And that would totally get everybody upset. Pick up more second-round picks or something like that.
Like they did last year.
Like they did last year. I mean, you don't know what they're going to do, and I don't think they're going to be conservative. They're going to be smart, though. They're not going to just – they have to truly be convinced that that guy is a day-one starter, franchise quarterback for the next 10 years.
One thing Field Yates said, and he said it when we talked to him at 12:30, and we heard it again in the cut we just played, which I find kind of intriguing, too, when he talked about the Bills' free agency approach, and he talked about E.J. Gaines, that would be the move he would make. And one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons, Bucky kind of alluded to this, too, was that E.J. Gaines fits into the Buffalo culture and bites into the process. And it just strikes me how a year into the tenure of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, people are onto the fact that they're building something different here, that culture, fit, buying into the process, respecting the process, that is important when it comes to the Bills' decision-making process. And I think that's kind of interesting that the word is out. It's something different going on here.
I mean, Coach McDermott said the word enough.
Yeah.
Where everybody, national reporters, local reporter, doesn't matter, fan base, you all heard it. Even people who weren't in this fan base, you all heard about the process. And the process has now grown across the country. I think they're going to continue to bring those types of guys in here. It will be a second before they kind of have some wiggle room in there where they'll bring in another guy who isn't that type of guy. And it's important to them. The culture here, trusting that process is important to this coaching staff, to Brandon Bean. They really believe in that stuff. They built that down there in Carolina, and they want to build the same type of team here.
Yeah, we'll see. This is going to be a fascinating couple of months. Yes, we talked a lot about quarterbacks today. We won't always talk about quarterbacks, but that's really the big domino to fall.
I don't know how. It was peer pressure or something like that?
We got roped into it. Well, Bucky Brooks started it.
He did.
Right?
And then
we just kind of took off. Well, that's fine.
When we start to book these guests, we got to make sure. Don't bring up the quarterback
situation.
You can
bring up quarterbacks. No, why? We got to talk about it. I don't know if we have to talk about it 3 hours every day, but you got to talk about it. We'll talk about defensive line tomorrow on the show as we go through position group by position group. Couple of moves for the Bills today. They hired a new receivers coach, Terry Robiskie, 63-year veteran of 36 seasons in the National Football League. He comes over after 2 years as the Tennessee Titans. He was offensive coordinator there and was coordinator for a couple of other teams, Cleveland and Oakland. He was also interim head coach for the Cleveland Browns. Terry Robiskie hired today as the Bills' receivers coach, replacing Phil McGagan, who went to the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Bills announcing three other hires, the new head athletic trainer, Nate Breske, who spent the last three seasons as the athletic trainer for the Chicago Bears. The Bills have a new video director, Jeff Muller, and they have a new director of analytics and application development, Luis Guillermo. All of those hires announced today by the Bills. Tomorrow's show looks good. Lorenzo Alexander, Mike Giannitti from SpotTrack, they'll join us tomorrow. Donald, thank you.
Thank you, Murph. I look forward to being back tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.